Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running. It is a brand new month on the horn. It's the first day of December 2017. We're almost done with 2017, and I think that's probably, in the long run, a good thing. Kind of has to be. Although, under the current circumstances, one looks toward 2018 with a certain amount of trepidation. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, it's December the 1st, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is, of course, where you go and you click on chat room if you'd like to be part of the madcap, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn Chat during the 3 hours in which this program is live. If you pick out a free screen name and if you pick out a free password, you will immediately be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Earther, and Squeaky, and Steve from Georgistan, and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. That must mean it's a pretty nice day in Northern California. It was actually a magnificent day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole, Virginia stand, too. Just absolutely bluebird day, not a cloud in the sky. Temps up into the 50s. Hard to argue with it. Yes, indeed. Now, of course, as is our habit, the first thing we have to... Well, okay, so there's an announcement. Thanks to Charlene and one other, we managed to squeak under the wire and finish November to the okay. We managed to... Nudge the Norsky, lick the Lithuanian, and cash the check. So thanks to all three of those who provide those challenges. Whew, we made it. Just barely. So there's that. Secondly, there are thanks that are due to go out because we have subscribers. And our first day of the month subscribers... let's see here. We have eight of them. That includes Vernon in California. Thank you, Vernon. And thank you to our pal Lauren in Alberta. Thank you very kindly to Peter in Texas. Thank you, Peter. Thanks go out to Patrick. I don't know which preposition, Germany. Thank you very kindly to Smitty in Florida. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Anne Marie, in the Big Easy. Thanks very kindly to our pals at Home Dirts in North Carolina. And finally, thanks to Brock. Thank you, Brock. Much obliged all the way around. And thanks very kindly to Joseph. We have a brand new subscriber. Yay. Thank you. That's a big deal. We love having new subscribers at the first of the month. So, that's where we find ourselves for the beginning of the final month of 2017. It is also the first day of the month, and the first day of the month brings brings a bittersweet challenge. It was a year ago, or a little less than a year ago, but it began in December a year ago when our pal Bruce up in Wisconsin had his first surgery that wound up leading to a second surgery that wound up leading to Bruce's death. And Bruce, of course, was the driving force behind Shirley's challenge. And so it is that Laborman and our pal Ralphs and one other anonymous contributor pull together to make sure that Shirley's challenge continues each and every month. And that is, this month is no different. So there is a $200 challenge on the table. If we can raise $200 this evening, that challenge having been met, well, we will we'll get off and running, and hopefully not that'll save us if we're when we crawl into the inevitable hole that we can't help crawling into somewhere along the way. So there it is, a $200 challenge on the table this evening. Your 5 will become 10. Your 10 will become 20. Et cetera. Double your money. Whatever you, up to $200. There's only $200 to work with, but yeah, it all gets doubled, and hopefully they'll take care of that this evening. This being Friday on the front porch, hey, that's kind of nice and auspicious, starting December with a Friday on the front porch. I was looking at the calendar. I think Christmas comes around on Monday, so there won't be a Christmas. We won't be on the air Monday the 25th of December, but Friday the 22nd. Yeah, pretty sure we'll be on air. So there we. So that's where we find ourselves this evening. Glory, hallelujah, and yeah, knock wood again. We're streaming live at both White Rose Society and HeadOn.live. That's just awesome. I hope it stays that way. Yes, we licked the Lithuanian, we nudged the Norsky, and we cashed the check. Randy asking about cashing the check. So, welcome to Friday on the Front Porch. And as usual, the standard rules apply. Here in about an hour or so, Sparky will light up the Bob signal and throw out the breadcrumb trail, and we'll get the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable underway, something that I enjoy immensely every week, and I'm told that others do as well. And look, we got plenty of room for folks to participate. If you never have, please feel free. Jump in. I hope you will. Just send a contact request on Skype, mind you, to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, all little letters, Sparky Dunc, and he'll show you the aforementioned breadcrumb trail and tell you which quadrant of the sky this Friday evening the Bob signal will be shining off of, and you'll be participating in something that is downright unusual for radio. Freeform, uncensored, un-anythinged discussion of just about anything you might want to bring to the table and talk about. I had a note coming from our pal Rico in the Berg. Hi, Brother Bob. I'm all full off priapic prunes and ready to go in any direction this weekend. Anyhow, on yesterday's program, you referred to Sam Cedar's show as for-profit media. I get where you're coming from, as he does have some sponsors and YouTube revenue, unlike you. but I feel the term is a bit of a stretch. I understand that. He relies mostly on donations and subscribers, much like you, and I doubt there's much profit in his enterprise. Maybe quibbling, but I think for-profit is... Well, I wasn't using it, Rico, in the same sense that I talk about, you know, CNN being the for-profit media. It's just over there in the profit-making world, I guess, is what I'm getting at. It was certainly not meant as any kind of slur or criticism. Speaking of great progressive media, maybe you could inform those in the Horn family who do not know that your pals Brad and Desi, in addition to putting out the exemplary Green News Report, do a great daily show that is available for download free at bradblog.com. Brad, as you know, runs an operation much like you do, relying totally on listener support, so he deserves a plug. Yes, he does. It is my sincere belief, Rico says, that the few but strong and important broadcast voices on the left must band together and at the very least cross-promote to amplify their voices. Just my opinion, man. And I share your opinion. I share your opinion. Rico says, "Okay, man, love you and keep doing what you're doing. It's so very important." Signed, Rico in DeBerg. Thank you, Rico. Thank you very, very kindly. All right, and we are off and running. Thank you very kindly to Anatole in the chat room. We are up and running. And that means we've only got another $150 to go to meet Charlie's challenge. I think we can do this evening. But there's one other piece of business we have to take care of here. All I can ask is, especially with the news today, and, you know, North Korea stuff and whatnot, well, somebody needs a muffler. Probably even heard that. You know, we've got to re-soundproof the fabulous 10x8 studio here at the Horn Mansion. Are you worried about the future? I know I do. Does the thought of Tangerine Tiberius getting us all killed in a thermonuclear dick-measuring contest leave you sleepless at night? I know it does me sometimes. Are you afraid that all your retirement savings will turn into ash once the GOP blows up the economy? Well, if I had any retirement savings, I would be. Do you get stressed out when there's too much month left at the end of the money? Does the prospect of not being able to consummate matters after a date night cause you massive bouts of depression? Does your mere presence at a concert cause revered musicians to get all dead? Well, fear not, dear friends. Brand new from the scientific geniuses at Horn Nutraceutical Labs, introducing... Grandiloquent Grapefruit. Wait a minute. Grandiloquent Grapefruit. Yes. With the active ingredient equivalent to 5 saw palmetto capsules in each dose, Grandiloquent Grapefruit will wipe off all worries from your dome, bring back happiness into your pitiful life, put a spring in your step, a whistle in your gristle, and most importantly, help you pitch a 4-hour tent that'll leave, depending on your particular orientation, ladies or gentlemen, desiring more after the date night concert. Plus, as a bonus, no esteemed musicians will drop dead following your patronage. It also alleviates swamp crotch. Yes. For 3 easy extractions of $39.95, we'll send you a 3-month supply of Grandiloquent Grapefruit. That works out to a measly 12.5 cents per dose. You can even get a chance to win your 3-month bullshit supplement by tweeting us at Horn Labs with the hashtag Grandiloquent. Not really. But wait, there's more. Order during the course of this evening's live program, and we'll include a bundle of test strips so you can test the futility of your supplement consumption regimen right in the comfort of your own shack. You know, to this very day, I've never cared much of a lick at all for grapefruit. So the only way I can get my doctor-recommended daily intake of grapefruit is through these Grandiloquent Grapefruit gummies. Yes, we've moved into gummies now. Our call center crew isn't standing by, even as we speak, to take your Grandiloquent Grapefruit order. Allow, if you're still alive, 68 weeks to arrive. Hurry! before supplies last. Grandiloquent grapefruit. Accept no substitutes, use no hooks, post no bills. This side up, objects may be larger than they appear, especially once you take a dose of Grandiloquent grapefruit. CODFOBMSNBCMONEYMICKEYMOUSECCCWPA. Grandiloquent grapefruit, only from Horn Nutraceutical Labs. Don't forget to tweet us at Horn Labs with the hashtag Grandiloquent for a chance to win your own absolute bullshit supplements. Because they are. Because you can't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle to the weak-minded and the credulous. That's why we're not moving a lot of bullshit nutritional supplements. We have hardly no weak-minded and no credulous folks here within the Horn Family Community Congregation. You know, except for the occasional Itray, Ingerway, Erkerlay, and we don't weigh Elte, Imhay, Mbay about the bullshit bay qualities of Horn Lab supplements, say, okay? Okay, good. 19 minutes past the hour. Billable Rick says, Bob, sign me up for 5 orders along with 2 Trumpy Bears. I wish Horn Labs had come up with that product before I saw Tom Petty at the Hollywood Bowl late September. Yes, but that's what inspired the hardworking peripatetic scientists at Horn Labs, Rick. But remember, when you do get those Ted Nugent tickets and those Kid Rock tickets, you absolutely want to not take your Grandiloquent grapefruit for at least a week. Uh-huh. Stephen, New York, Grandiloquent grapefruit testimonial. I was part of the double-blind, super-duper, abracadabra, ooga-brooga study and can testify that I felt just fucking awesome afterward. Yes, yes, indeed. That's the kind of that. Well, we hear it all the time from people who haven't taken Grandiloquent grapefruit. Because, well, there's no Grandiloquent grapefruit to take, but it doesn't mean it doesn't work. What means it doesn't work is the fact that Grandiloquent grapefruit is a bullshit nutritional supplement. Ask for it by name. Operators are not standing by. Absolutely, Earther wants to know, are the test strips certified vegan and carefully packed by a pregnant hippie Wiccan priestess? You better believe they aren't, because they aren't real, but if they were, they would be. They also come in a convenient patchouli-scented pouch. Yes. So, just remember, that's yep, absolutely. And thank you very kindly to Steve and Karen and little Twiggy and little Cletus. Little Twiggy and little Cletus went out and scraped around in the increasingly hardening North Georgia clay soil and dug up a few bones. So now we have only $130 to go in order to meet Shirley's challenge for the first day of December. Pseudo-neutrical, taxa after A, says Devin. And you know what? There's a halfway decent chance I'll understand that by the end of the program. Did I do the Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid part? I can't remember anymore. There's just too much to keep up with. So it turned out that today, you know, well, some days are kind of special. The drinks will flow. Because it was Mueller time in Washington, D.C. today. That's right. Mueller time. The carotene Caesar had a photo op scheduled today. But no sooner, and who knows why, no sooner had the announcement been made that former General Michael Flynn, who apparently doesn't think much of his country and would sell us and would sell the United States out for a handful of beans, or rubles, or whatever the Turkish currency is, as the case may be. He was going to plead guilty to lying to the FBI, because he did. And so he went to court and he pled guilty. And right now, official Washington is somewhere between all a buzz and certain people in the White House are unable to get more than 3 feet from any particularly handy toilet because they're shitting themselves. Mm-hmm. One can only assume that the Tangerine Tiberius was not the kind of guy you wanted to take any pictures of this morning after the news broke, because among other things, part of the plea deal involved, you know, it wasn't just, well, shucks, you got me, okay, I'm gonna plead guilty. No. Michael Flynn said he's more than happy to roll like a little red wagon all over the Trump White House. And you know what? I'm guessing Bob Mueller will pull him like that little red wagon all over the White House. But the upshot of it is that he lied to the FBI when he said that he didn't have contact with no Russians. When in fact it turned out that not only did he have contact with the Russians, oh dude, man, you know, like the Russian thing, it's just another cheap excuse to keep from having to talk about the goddamn DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Hillary Clinton DNC, damn it. Well, no, as it turns out, the Russia thing is a real thing, and there were a couple of occasions where somebody who was higher up than Michael Flynn, and before the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini actually took office, somebody told Mike Flynn to go and, you know, have a little tete-a-tete with representatives of that huggable, lovable, snuggable lover of democracy, Vladimir Putin, which he then did, acting on orders. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I'm guessing newly minted opioid czar. You caught that, right? Yeah, I'm sure. Newly minted opioid czar Kellyanne Conway is probably looking around, wondering if she can get her hands on a few little biscuits. Because they say that you get into those opioids after a while, it'll tighten things right up down there, and you won't for a month of Sundays. And that's why we got advertisements on the TV for opioid-induced constipation. And Kellyanne would like to have some opioid-induced constipation right now, because Kellyanne was one of the people who was up to her bleach-blonded head in Russian business. But then again, there's also the, well, let's just put it this way. When it comes to Michael Flynn, he went to Jared. Yes. That's right. Looks like one of the people who told him to reach out to the Russians and make happy talk would have been Jared Kushner. But it may not just be Jared Kushner. There's an entire likelihood that, it may go all the way to, you know, Donald J. Trump. Before he became president, selling out his country, acting against his own country's best interests. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe a patriot like Donald J. Trump, a man who has practically wallpapered the country in cheap Chinese red hats with white letters saying, "Make America Great Again." It's hard to believe he'd do something unpatriotic for a dollar. No, it's not difficult to believe at all, is it? No, not even. And nobody in the White House apparently saw this coming. The best that they came up with was to have Ty Cobb, the president's lawyer, say, Flynn? Never heard of the guy. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yes, of course. The guy that pled guilty today. His crimes are his crimes and his crimes only, and they certainly don't touch the White House. And, well, golly, last I checked, yeah, he was a former member of the Obama administration. Maybe he'll roll over on the Kenyan Muslim usurper. And when that statement came out from lawyer Cobb, the entirety of official Washington, well, the ones that aren't, you know, Trumpansies and maggots, the ones who actually care a little bit about this country, they didn't even bother snickering up their sleeves. They laughed out loud. Because that was such a pathetically transparent attempt to not deal with reality that it was it beggared credulity. And that story has, yes, apricot asshole. That's very good. Thank you, Hung Like Jesus. The apricot asshole. I'll add that into the rotation. So we've got something. Look. So now you've got, and notice, and this is just a little procedural thing. Assuming Billable Rick is around here in about 30 minutes or so, we'll go maybe delve a little deeper into this. But in a situation such as this, you don't get to walk up to the prosecutor and go, yeah, you know, look, you cut me a deal there. You cut me a deal there, buddy, and I'll tell you all kinds of cool stuff, but you got to let me cut the deal first. I don't talk till I get the walk. In fact, it works the exact opposite of that. Because whatever one might say about Robert Mueller, well, he's not the kind to go out and buy a pig in a poke. Mm-mm. So one may safely assume that Mueller has had some, you know, more staff, and you know maybe Mueller probably came in for some of this. I would guess. I mean, this big doings. Mueller has probably had very, very long, extensive conversations about anything and everything that he knew. Mm-hmm. And note also that he entered the guilty plea today, but no sentence was handed down. No sentence has been handed down with regard to Papadopoulos or who's the other guy, Gates. You know why? Because their future testimony is anticipated by way of the cooperation which they have promised to render in other cases. So they probably won't be sentenced until everything else is over with, so that they continue to have an incentive to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Just out of curiosity, I checked. Has Geezer Disgustus done any tweeting this afternoon? He's been fury tweeting for several days now. Last night he was furious, and I saw the news come in as the program was progressing, but I couldn't find a way to break in and talk about it. But the case that the young woman whose dead body Donald Trump rode like a borrowed mule to get his Klansmen and Nazis and sympathizers and racists and xenophobes and whatnot, and, you know, the maggots into a white, and I do mean white, hot fury. It took place in San Francisco. And the jury came back last night and exonerated the man who was charged with killing her. acquitted. Let's use the right language here. Acquitted the defendant. This then caused Trump to go into another one of those white, and I do mean white, orange, hot furies. And so consequently he was tweeting about this totally corrupt jury trial system. Justice was not done. When in fact justice is exactly what was done. You go to trial and you do the best you can on both lawyers, both sides do the best that they can to convince a jury one way or the other. And in this case, the defense counsel for the undocumented immigrant, well, he carried the day. Doesn't mean the system was corrupt. In fact, what it means is that the system worked. Sometimes when the system works, you get verdicts that you might not particularly care for, but Dolt 45 knows exactly nothing about criminal process, legal process, and if he ever did know anything about it, the spirochetes have eaten it away. And speaking of which, I gotta make mention. Yeah, I'm just gonna pat myself on the back. Wait a minute. Ow, that's the bad shoulder. I noticed that without saying the word spirochetes, Charlie Pierce over at Esquire.com, the politics blog, said that the behavior of Donnie the Dotard was reminding him not of Winston Churchill, but of Winston's daddy. Those of us with a functioning appreciation of history know what he meant by that. Winston Churchill's father loomed as a monumental presence in the life of young Winston Churchill. He craved the approval and the love of his father, Randolph Churchill. But somewhere along the way, Randolph Churchill had put his member where it did not belong, with a woman not his wife, and picked up an ugly little case of, what? That's right, syphilis. And it went untreated. And so Randolph Churchill went stark raving mad as a result of, that's right, tertiary neurosyphilis. You know, the spirochetes that I keep talking about. And so I thought it interesting that Charlie Pierce made a reference to a guy with tertiary syphilis who died of it, reminding him more and more, or Trump reminding him more and more of that guy. Of course, minus the decency and nobility that whatever of it that Randolph Churchill had, because whatever of it he had it in boatloads more than Donald Trump ever will or ever has. So how about that? first cowbell of the evening. That's right. Goes out to Steve in New York. Subject line, Trump. This weekend, his tweeting will not be twooping, but Twitteria. That, see why the cowbell? Yes. Mm-hmm. That was quality. That was the good stuff. So, you know, that's a starting place. Maybe that will consume the entirety of the conversation tonight. I don't know. There are other things out there. If you want a righteous giggle, there's nothing better. I mean, the klaxons must have, aruga, aruga, ang, 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 ang. battle stations. Warning, Will Robinson. Must have been... hell-bent for leather over there in the studios of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda today. Because when the Flynn news broke, wow. Among other outlets, ABC News was the one to report that, quote, as a candidate, Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. Which is really quite heady stuff. The folks over at, and who is it? Adam Peck writing over at Think Progress says, Adam Peck's tongue must have been so far back in his cheek it was halfway wrapped around his tonsils. For anyone paying the slightest bit of attention to the news, that revelation constitutes what we in the biz call a bombshell. Oh, I love good humor like that. So then everything went full on, sweat condition alpha, 200 proof, Michael Flynn, Donald Trump, dropping the dime, rolling over. Yeah. What did Fox News TV Radio Rwanda do? Why, their lead story on their webpage showed a photograph of Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton, and Hillary, and read, Whack-a-mole, secret emails detail FBI's hunt for leaker after infamous Lynch-Clinton tarmac meeting. It was all about Hillary. Among other things, they brought someone on from the White House and chairman of the American Conservative Union, Matt Schlapp, who looked earnestly into the cameras there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and said, The fact that the charge is a serious one, but legally a rather minor one. Remember, he wasn't put under oath. They're simply saying in their conversations with him they believe he wasn't honest. This is not collusion with the Russians over fixing the election. It has nothing to do with why the special counsel was actually brought in. What it does have to do with, interestingly enough, is this whole question about what was the Obama administration doing in monitoring members of Team Trump. That's the real interesting part of this that I want to learn more about. Then they followed up with Andrew Napolitano. More great moments in broadcasting. Somebody in the White House asked either the NSA or the FBI for transcripts of conversations that Ambassador Kislyak was having with Americans. Either the NSA or FBI, we don't know who had it at this point, told somebody in the Obama White House, this is Mike Flynn, this person A, person B is the ambassador. A portion of that was leaked to the Washington Post. That act of leaking is a felony. None of this is in any wise the fault of, say, Donald Trump for saying, what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to talk to the Russians. Believe me, they're going to be eager to talk to you. It'll be incredible. You'll talk to them and we'll make a deal because I'm a deal maker. Mike, go talk to the Russians. Believe me, I want you to talk to the Russians. Jesus. I got a feeling it's gonna be an interesting Christmas season. I wonder if old Saint Bob is gonna bring a bundle of switches or coal to Dimwit Donnie. I bet it won't be clean coal either. Tough night here at the mansion, by the way. I really needed my Grandiloquent grapefruit today. Have you ordered your Grandiloquent grapefruit yet? There is no better bullshit nutritional supplement on the market today than Grandiloquent grapefruit from Horn Labs. It'll even pick you up and perk you up after you spend a night breathing your neighbor's sickly, sweet, sulfurous, brimstone, coal-fired smoke. Because, I mean, we got gassed last night. Got to sleep at a reasonable hour. But by about 4 o'clock in the morning, we were both, Agnes was coughing and choking and gagging, and I was doing the same. And I looked at her and I said, so it's not just me. She, no, this is awful. This is terrible. And it's not like we live in a tar paper shack. But anybody who's ever lived in or around a coal camp or anything can tell you that coal smoke is insidious. There's a line in T.S. Eliot's The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, which, by the way, our buddy Joy just despises, and that's okay. But there's a line in The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock where he describes a fog. Fog has been touched upon by other poets as well. Carl Sandburg, for instance. Said the fog comes in on little cat feet. But it's a little bit more noxious the way that T.S. Eliot describes it. And it pretty much is coal smoke because he gives it color. The yellow fog that rubs its back upon the window panes, the yellow smoke that rubs its muzzle on the window panes, licked its tongue into the corners of the evening, lingered upon the pools that stand in drains, let fall upon its back the soot that falls from chimney, slipped by the terrace, made a sudden leap, and seeing that it was a soft October night, curled once about the house and fell asleep. That's kind of how it is. It just feels like it's crawling all over you. And of course, there's not a damn thing I can do. I've got my bad habits. Please believe me when I tell you that breathing raw coal smoke, I don't know, that it feels like you've just sat down and smoked about a half a case of Philly's blunts without anything good to recommend them. It's gag-inducing. And indeed, there will be time for the yellow smoke that slides along the street, rubbing its back upon the window panes. There will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. But great heavenly days, it was awful. So, yeah, I was a little bleary in the early part of the day. All of the Flynn stuff happened before the morning drive, or after the morning drive program at MSNBC had gone off the air. The timing could not have been worse because, well, I'd buy a ticket to watch that bunch have a conniption. And of course, it'll be a whole lot of I was right. We were right. We told you we were right. But as Scott and Punky note in an email, caution, more than a few of my online pals have engaged in a jubilant end zone dance and ball spiking, what with today's developments with Michael Flynn. As I understand it, he pled to a single count, lying to the FBI, apparently to shield his son from being charged with anything. Flynn has also promised to cooperate with Mueller and company as they continue their investigation. We're a long way from done, folks. I'm thinking it's a little premature to launch into a rousing rendition of Zippity Doodah. I don't think I even sang a single note of it, Scott.
This is not the beginning of the end, but it may perhaps be the end of the beginning.
I had to work a little Churchill in there after the Randolph Churchill business a little bit earlier. No, this is not. It was, you know, Papadopoulos was one. Gates, now Flynn. There's work been going on all this time. People have been interviewed. But the fact that he went in and pled and it was all ready to go. Did you see any reference to say, oh, I don't know, an indictment? Because I didn't. Here's the CNN copy. Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty Friday to lying to the FBI about conversations with Russia's ambassador and disclosed that he is cooperating with the special counsel's office. No, I won't. Bilbo Rick says, please, Bob. Wait a minute. You did not just Bob, Rick. Do you really want the cease and desist letter from Ron and Raleigh's lawyers? They're a tough lot. They're pit bulls, man. When they get you by the shorts, they don't let go. That's straight up gimmick infringement, man. Please sing a bar of Zippity Doo Dah for it. No, I will not. And you can't make me. Well, I mean, maybe, but no. No, absolutely not. Hey, by the way, we've got $130 in fundraising to go for the evening. Just a mention to meet Shirley's challenge. And then CNN says, Flynn is the first person inside President Donald Trump's administration to be reached by Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe. Never heard of him. What? He was National Security Advisor. Says who? Reminds me of the story about the guy who was out poaching deer. And there's a visual element to this, so you'll have to trust me on it. But he comes walking out of the woods. He's got the deer slung over his shoulder. And there stands the game warden. Looks at the game warden. Lovely day. Yeah, lovely day. Been out in the woods, have you? Yeah, just went out for a little walk around. Like to clear my mind, walk around in the woods. See anything? No, didn't see a darn thing. Didn't shoot a deer, did you, out of season? Oh, no, not me. I never would. Stand. You know, he's got a deer slung over his shoulder. Finally, the game warden looks at him and says, well, what's that on your shoulder? And the guy turns and goes, knocks it off his shoulder. Like I said, there's a visual element. It's funnier when you see it. But that's gonna... Flynn? Anybody here know a guy named Flynn? No, Flynn. No?
Never heard of the guy. Low level. Extremely low level. Low energy. Never trusted him. Worked for Obama, you know.
Mm-hmm. In court Friday morning, Flynn's only comments were to answer yes and no to questions from the judge. He told the judge he's not been coerced to plead guilty or been promised a specific sentence. Flynn faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison, according to federal sentencing guidelines, although the judge Friday morning stressed he could impose a harsher or a lighter sentence. In a statement, Flynn said he acknowledged that his actions were wrong and, through my faith in God, I am working to set things right. My guilty plea and agreement to cooperate with the special counsel's office reflect a decision I made in the best interests of my family and of our country. Well, thank you. From the bottom of our country's heart, Mike, thank you. I accept full responsibility for my actions. You know what doesn't appear anywhere in this story? Two words. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't nowhere in any of these stories. I have not seen the word grand jury. You know why? There was no necessity to take it to the grand jury. And they just said, come on, Mike, buddy, we got you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you definitely do. I've done it.
And so, boop, there it is. So that would indicate to me that he pled to an information. You can only plead to an you can only be charged by information in the federal system if you consent to the filing of the information. Now, if I've missed it somewhere and the grand jury got all this, well, that's a different story. But one thing that it does tell me is that the grand jury hasn't necessarily heard anything from Flynn or anything about Flynn's doings. So that might make for an interesting day there in the grand jury in what is that, over in Alexandria, Virginia. Very interesting indeed. So we've got that going on for us this evening. And I'm sure the conversation will be most engaged and boisterous as we go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Again, I heartily encourage you, don't be shy. Even if you've never done the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable before, you're mighty welcome to try to jump in. It's fun. And it's not like we've got an initiation fee or a secret handshake or a jargon that you have to learn. You know, you don't have to use phrases like values signaling or any of that kind of, no. You jump in and you participate, and it's a lot of fun. And we love to hear new voices. I was going to say see new faces, but you know, it's radio. We love to hear new voices in the conversation. And so if you want to, like I said, Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc on Skype, one word, and you'll be into the conversation before you know it. All right? Silent R. Lamar says, we as Americans need to demand full house cleaning in both parties. And speaking of which, there was finally, how about that? We learned today about another Republican sexual harasser, this one being Blake Farenthold of Texas, the guy in the picture's been around for a while, that he showed up with some very attractive young women at a party somewhere, and big old Blake was wearing a set of blue flannel, fleecy, ducky footy pajamas. No, really, they were blue footy pajamas with little rubber duckies printed all over them. And was apparently prone to drinking himself into a blind stupor. And any time he went to a party, his staffers said that they, because he tended to get a little bit drunk. And, you know what? You have lovely feet. The staffers described it as going on redhead patrol. Apparently, Blake Farenthold has a weakness for redheaded women. But he sexually harassed the daylights out of his communications director, and had to pay from a secret slush fund, secret congressional slush fund. He had to pay out about, $84,000. Yeah, right now the thing is still bound by non-disco agreements, but he was apparently a sleazy, skeevy, nasty, a Republican, which probably means the people of Texas will now elect him senator. IOKIYAR. So we've got that going for us. Here we are at the top of the hour. We'll call this the end of the filibobster, and we'll fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable, capably moderated for lo these many, many years by none other than Spacing Guildmaster Sparky. Again, if you want to participate, jump right in. Okie doke. This is listener supported Conversation Radio. Shirley's Memorial Challenge on the table for this first day of December 2017. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back with the conversation. I just love that song, 10cc, Good Morning Judge, and it's just so daggum apropos. Okay, just remember, you don't have to send video to be on the front porch, just so y'all know. Let's go ahead and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Lovely day here. I take it it's a nice one there as well.
Yeah, clear and cold.
What passes for cold around there?
Oh, 50s.
Yeah, that's, okay, I mean,
Gets down in the 40s at night as soon as the sun goes down.
Yeah, we'll probably be down in the mid 30s tonight, but it got up around 55, 60 degrees today, and it was for December here. That's pretty nice weather.
Hello.
Hang on a minute.
Okay, whoever that is, you've got to turn the audio down in the background.
Okay.
Yeah, was that Trey?
No, I think it was Les. I already muted. Well, he just come back in.
Oh, I had it on mute.
Can you hear me?
Stay muted.
Okay, whoever you are, if you've got audio going in the background, that much of it, you know, that's the hard part of the Friday on the Front Porch. You got to turn that background audio down.
Yeah, well, I had to zap him again. Maybe he'll figure it out.
I'm here. I'm muting.
Thank you. Okay, getting back to our conversation on the weather.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just sort of breaks the ice. Well, no ice yet, but you know what I mean.
No, it hasn't froze here yet to kill the tomatoes or anything. But Grady's been out. He's got a new hobby now.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing his Carl Spechler imitation.
Oh, chasing gophers?
Oh, man, you ought to see the holes.
Hadn't gotten around to using the C4 yet, has he?
No, but he gets so deep, his head disappears in the hole, and the dirt just to fly. There was a couple new spots where they pushed up the ground.
Have you seen him catch one yet?
No, he caught a mole one time here, but it was in a different place.
Well, that's hardly sporting. They can't see worth a damn.
Well, they were digging up the yard too. But every time he sees a new berm where they're working, he goes out and digs a new hole. So it's like, I don't go out there wandering at night. He might fall into a hole.
That could be rough.
I'll have to fill him in eventually. When he leaves, I'll get him filled back in. Which will happen in a few months, hopefully. He drives me nuts sometimes. He wants to play ball or he's following me around. I turn around and run into him.
Oh, he can't help it. He's at lab, isn't he?
Yeah, he's at lab. He's at lab.
His entire existence is dedicated to trying to make you smile.
Yeah, well, he's doing a pretty good job of it, but he's just over on the floor over here. He was watching me work a while ago. I was building something.
Oh, what's in the building? What are you building?
Oh, I'm building a little stand for a fan to raise it up through the back of my fireplace. You know the old fireplaces that used to have heatilators in them?
Oh, yeah, yep.
And they had a fan and built into the fireplace. Oh, that fan finally crapped out, but the vent's still in the kitchen there. So if I'm blowing air through that vent to get more heat out of the fireplace. I got a fan that runs to the fireplace insert that blows out heat too. It's the only way you can get it out.
Oh, I was in Lowe's earlier today, picking up a few bottles of propane in case it gets. I'm sorry, you have to say it like Hank Hill. Propane, in case it does get nasty cold. And I noticed that, well, with a few modifications, I think I could put one of those propane space heater stoves in the middle room of the mansion, and it might go a long way toward warming up the house considerable. Like, maybe get one of those hundred pound propane bottles, just set it right outside the window.
I feel something might work for you. My wife bought a mattress pad that heats up.
Ooh.
She says it works like a charm.
Oh, that sounds nice. Something else I also saw over there You know, we use these little heaters that take the one-pound bottles, but the same people, the heaters are by Mr. Heater, and they've got one now that just attaches to the top of a 20-pound bottle, and that looks kind of promising, too. Not for back here in the fabulous 8x10 studio, but in the rest of the house, I got a feeling that would warm things up nicely as well.
Well, I got to fire up my space heater here in a little bit because it'll get cold as soon as the sun goes down in here.
Well, I found that the 1,500-watt space heaters, apart from the fact that they make the electric meter spin like a carnival pinwheel, you know, they're good down to about 20 degrees. And after that, it's like they're not even working. They just can't compete. And that, of course, that, you know, maybe it may be a draftiness issue too. There's before it gets too brutal. I've got some around the house kind of work I need to do, and I'm just not particularly good at it. So, you know, hopefully I won't hurt myself. But there's an old, well, I mean, it's West Virginia. There's an old coal chute, and we've covered it up periodically with this and that. But it needs to be. It just needs to be sealed off with something with some insulation under it and you know, really make it kind of permanent. All I know is to measure twice before I cut once, but after I cut once, you know, God only knows.
You're not very good at carpentry.
I'm not. I just don't do a lot of it. I don't do enough of it to be good at it.
Yeah. Well, we've been building stuff here. Me and Mason, my minion, we built him a log box last week, put over in his house to keep his wood dry outside over there. They have a covered overhang, and the box goes in there so they don't stack all the wood right up against the house and ruin the siding. So that was. I built it all out of what we scrounged from the other neighbor's remodels job last year, this year.
Hey, that's always cool. Yeah. Well, let's check in around the room. I noticed that Trey in Kentucky, Stan, with whom I have occasional correspondence on Twitter, I noticed Trey's in the room, and I guess he's got the night off or something. Welcome aboard, Trey.
Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Sorry to stalk you on Twitter, man. It's like you're my only outlet. Ever since my dad died 3 years ago, him and I were real tight. He was a union guy, and we would always go back and forth. But ever since he's died, I'm here in Blue, Kentucky, and got nowhere to go. So sorry to vent on you sometimes.
Oh, no, that's okay. I enjoy the conversations, and I'm sure I'm no stand-in for your dad. But
I'm happy. It's just someone to talk to.
Yeah, I understand.
My wife's starting to come around. She's actually switched parties, so she's starting to come around.
Wait, you were in a mixed marriage?
Yes, she was a Republican. And she switched over to the Democrat.
And y'all have kids
like
and
last
every,
year.
And y'all have kids and everything.
We got four kids. I got four of them running around here. Two of them laying on me as we speak.
See, that's the thing with those mixed marriages. You always look up and you go, but what about the children?
That's true. But we do what we can here in Kentucky, Stan. It's just crazy.
I don't think it's any saner over here across the big Sandy River where I am either, but you know, I understand your point.
When you talk about people in the coal, do people like throw coal in the fire? Now, I'm from the city. I don't understand. Like an actual fireplace that coal goes into?
I had been told he was doing that at one point, which is just like suicide as far as I'm concerned. I'm told I ran into him up to the Rippy Mart, and he said he's got a warm morning coal stove.
Okay, well, because you keep saying it bothers your, I guess it bothers your allergies or whatever, and I'm thinking, do they just throw it in there and just let it burn? I don't, that's weird.
Yeah, it gets through the day, and you know, there's a little kid in the house. There's like a baby in the house and stuff, and it's horrifying to consider.
Yeah.
But as evening draws on and the temperatures begin to fall, and it'll be this way till April. You know, I guess he just goes down and picks up coal along the tracks and stuff. I mean, I'm not making fun. I'm really not. I mean, it's
oh, I know you're not. I was just hearing you talking. I was like, so is this guy?
It's terrible for everybody who has to breathe what's coming out of his chimney, but it's even worse for the people who have to live in his house.
That'd be awful. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really, you know, yeah, nasty stuff.
So I'm just like, you know, I got that nasty habit in the morning. That's usually when I send you my tweets is in the morning.
Yeah, they were.
When I'm watching Morning Joe.
They've been in rare form for a couple of days now, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
But they just can't quite get around to say, they're getting really close. I mean, they're tap dancing up to the edge, and I thought it was kind of interesting what was said in the last day or so. That, you know, months back he said he wanted to, you know, say something, and you know, the suits in management said, well, you can't say that. Now we understand the significance of independent broadcasting. We don't have to worry about pissing off the advertisers. All I have to worry about is pissing off the Horn Community Congregation. And, you know, I've done that too. Back during the purity wars of 2016.
Well, you're telling everybody how to vote, Bob, remember?
Well, oh, that's right, I was. I was telling everybody how to vote. And, dadgummit. Forgot about that.
Well, even when you watch these shows, I mean, it just seems like everyone's just so, they just don't want to say he's a liar, they just don't want to come out and say it. It's like they tap dance around it. Well, we don't know. It's just, I know it's corporate media, but it's just like, is it just that? Are they just that blind? Or is that just what they have to do?
You know, the suits do have some, the suits do have some control over this stuff, apparently.
Right. So, I mean, they're like, well, you know, even though it was only one indictment, you know, for lying to the FBI, but what he lied about, and it's like, I do like the way the White House is just kind of playing it down, like it's no big deal, which is, they do that with everything, but it's just like.
Well, and you know, Billable Rick can jump in on this. He's got some expertise down this line.
Okay. I'm going to go on hold here. I got to put my two little girls to sleep, so I'll stay on hold here.
All right. Good talking to you, Craig.
Bob.
Hey, Rick. The fact that Flynn was allowed to plead to one count doesn't mean that one count was all that Mueller had now, does it?
Oh, no, far from it. No, that was just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we were hearing all those.
That's why it's a plea bargain, right?
Right. And he wanted to keep his son out because I know that was one of the main motivations because they had his son in their sights, Mueller's team did. And that probably is what tipped it and, you know, made, you know, Flynn decide he was going to, you know, reach a plea deal. You know, based on what I've looked at, the plea deal, he's probably not going to go to jail, Flynn, as long as he satisfies the cooperation agreement portion of the plea deal. Because the government, the lying to an FBI agent only carries a total offense level of 6 in the federal sentencing guidelines. So if you plead to that, you get 2 points for accepting responsibility. So you're down to 4. And you can have as many as a total offense level of 8 and still have a recommended sentence of only 0 to 6 months. So,
well, I mean, the stories I've read says he's facing. He's facing 5, and the judge can depart upward or downward.
Yeah, that's true. The 5 years is the statutory maximum sentence, and under the guidelines, defendants hardly ever get the statutory maximum, which is almost always greater than the sentencing guideline range. Okay, so, you know, generally what judges do is they, you know, the probation office computes the court has to as well, but they determine what the, you know, what the applicable guideline, you know, what the offense level is, and they calculate what the guideline range is based on that. It's like a grid that you look at. You've probably seen it before. And in this instance, you know, he's a first-time offender. 0 to 6 months is what the recommended guideline range is for somebody who has a total offense level of 4. So, obviously, as you said, Mueller is not in the business of buying a pig in a poke. And, you know, my guess is that Flynn has some very valuable information, most likely, you know, against Trump and or the inner circle. You know, because he wasn't just freelancing when he made these contacts with the Russians. I mean, he was clearly, you know, I think he admitted.
Just to be clear, I don't think Papadopoulos led Mueller to Flynn.
No, I don't think so. No.
And so consequently, I think if I'm reading this right, the idea is to get as many people. Well, you're kind of making a circle around Donald Trump, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the idea.
So
he
has no exit. He has nowhere to turn, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ultimately he just winds up standing there, a quivering adipose mass of madness.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you crank up the heat enough, and eventually he'll stand there and say, I had him. I had him with the strawberries. Believe me, they were excellent strawberries. I had him.
Captain Quig or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my hope. This is my hope, Bob. I don't know if it's realistic or not, but I talked to Randy earlier, Randy Rhodes, and by the way, I gave her a plug for your show because I borrowed one of your phrases. I said that. My prediction this weekend is that Trump is going to be tweeting and he's going to come across as, you know, crazy as a sprayed roach at a decon party.
Nice. Well, you know, you're welcome to it.
She appreciated that. Huh?
She enjoyed it then. Very good.
Yeah. No, we had a good talk. Steve from Georgistan apparently was listening to the show too. But, you know, my hope is that what Mueller does is he realizes that the political system is unable to resolve this whole situation with having a criminal in, you know, as the, you know, chief executive, okay, as president. And so what he does is he just decides he's going to indict both Trump and Pence.
That's the other part of this. There's some stuff within the Flynn allegations that point toward Pence, because Pence was head of the transition, was he not?
He was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So what would happen if Mueller indicts President Trump and Vice President Pence, he would almost undoubtedly, you know, usually you don't like talk about your case, but he would almost undoubtedly have like a report that would explain his charges, you know, because he can do whatever he wants to do, basically, Bob. And if those two guys are indicted, then it might embarrass Congress to act. You know what I'm saying? Because they're clearly not going to start impeachment on their own. But if there's criminal charges filed, even though the president might be immune from those charges while he's in office, if you at least have that charge filed as a matter of public record, then, you know, and you have a report explaining what the evidence would show, let's say.
And then maybe you have a... You know. But everything does change if Pence gets implicated, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it becomes a little bit more of a Nixonian situation where you bring in a new vice president with the understanding of, listen, as soon as I it quay, you're going to Arden pay E-May. Aight, Ray? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah. Well, that assumes that there is a that there's a new vice president that would be, you know, nominated, right?
Well, you kind of have to now. It's not like the old days. You can't just leave the office vacant.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying that you indict him, but you don't prosecute him. You let Congress decide what they're going to do. Okay. I guess the vice president, there's nothing to prevent him from being charged, I guess, from being prosecuted. There's, you know, apparently some precedent that the president can't while he's in office anyway.
He can't be tried. It's my understanding it's an open question. I mean, he can certainly be indicted.
Yeah, he can be indicted, but he can't be tried. So,
This is Trey again. Got to jump in and ask Rick a question real quick. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, how you doing?
I listened to you today on Randy, too. I listened to the show, and I heard you on there. So, yeah, he gave you some props, Bob. It was nice to hear.
Oh, cool.
Could they do something like indict him and then, like, have a trial but not have him there?
No.
And like, they can't do that. Okay, I was just curious.
No, we don't do trial in absentia here yet.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet. There's a Sixth Amendment provision that gives you a right to confront your accusers. So
we could basically just indict him and then just kind of wait and see what Congress does and go from there.
I think that would be a brilliant move on the part of Mueller, because he's realizing that, look, you know, we can't have a foreign agent in the White House, you know, ruining, you know, our country and its foreign policy and everything else about the country that used to make it great. And, you know, Congress is not doing their job. So I'm going to preempt them and, you know, basically, you know, lay out my hand and see what they do. That's all I can do, you know. I mean, Mueller would obviously realize that he probably can't try the president while he's in office. But, you know, I don't think anything prevents a president from being charged. You know, then the trial will be postponed until he's no longer president. You know?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Also, has anyone seen anything with the people in Congress? Have they destroyed the economy yet, taken away everybody's health care? Does anybody know about that?
Oh, the tax plan, the tax cut for the rich. The more I read about this, the more I realize what a total screw job this thing is going to be. I mean, apparently it's going to destroy the home mortgage industry. it's going to have a major effect by disallowing the state and local taxes and limiting property tax. It's going to depress property values. There's a provision in it that is going to prevent cities, to basically refinance their debt obligations, their bonds, you know, at least prevent them from refinancing them tax-free. If the interest rates go down, so they'll be locked into 30-year bonds at whatever interest rate they got. Okay.
That's why I can't break out the champagne yet. Sorry to interject, Steve.
This
tax thing is hanging over me like a dark cloud, and they're going to pass it. They're going to pass it. Yeah. Jeff Flake's already flipped. In fact, when all the indictments were coming down, I flipped over to Fox News, and of course they had some hot Fox News weather skank on there who was orgasmic about the fact that Jeff Flake has flipped. And that was their main lead, you know. They didn't care about the indictments. They were just so enamored with these tax cuts that it's going to happen.
Anything that is done can be undone. If we've learned anything out of the last 11 months, that is what we've learned.
Agreed, Bob, but it's going to be at least end of 2018 before we're in a position to undo anything.
When
would all the tax stuff kick in they're wanting to do?
19.
Okay. Yeah. So a new Congress could change that. I mean, that, you know, if the Democrats, but the problem is the president's going to veto anything that's changed to try.
Yeah, and see, they've got the system dummied up so that the chickens won't come home to roost until after the end of the second Trump term.
Yeah.
And
that's
you know,
assuming
just,
the fire
just
kids to, don't win, Bob.
Just to pour a little cold water on everything, on the one hand, the way this is timing out, you know, end of the year and Flynn, that means that the news cycle is likely to be dominated for the foreseeable future, going into a midterm election year, by the ongoing news of the investigation of Donald Trump's administration. That will not be good for the Republicans in November. But the other side of that is, well, you know, call it the Roy Moore factor. There ain't nothing that is going to keep trumpanzees, maggots, from voting for people who stand with Donald Trump. All right?
And Roy Moore's going to win, too, Bob. I'm sorry. I hate to be the hand of doom, but he's going to win. I even donated money to the other guy, with Doug whatever his
Jones.
Name is. Doug Jones, yeah. I donated money to him in good faith, but Roy Moore is going to win. I mean, that's how
I don't know how, and I'm not picking at you. I don't know how you can say that with so much certainty.
Yeah, come in.
The fact of the matter is, this is all going to turn on get out the vote.
Oh.
Okay.
This is pure get out the vote.
Remember, Moore won his primary runoff with 7.5% of the registered voters eligible to vote in that election.
Well, I guess if anybody's taught me to be a cynical bastard, it's you, Bob. So,
I understand. No, and it's well taken, because the other side is that all we have to do, and I've said it before, people are probably sick of me saying it, all we have to do to beat these bastards is unify and go forward and vote.
But the polling's not looking good. I mean, but,
well,
but
I'm,
who
not,
knows?
I'm not talking about Roy Moore right now. I'm talking about 2018. All we have to do to get rid of this Congress is unify and go forward and vote. And all that has to happen for that, all that has to occur for that to be able to transpire, is for there to be a goddamn ceasefire in the purity wars. Now, you tell me whether you think that's going to happen or not.
Well, you know, I always talk about that committee that I'm a member of. You know, we're doing good work. But, you know, a lot of them, some of them on this committee are, you know, what I call progressively insane, or as you call them, the, you know, Purity Brigade. But I call them progressively insane because, you know, what their progressive values are insane. But, you know, I was talking about Roy Moore, and I said, what? How screwed up are we, or of a country we are right now, where a guy who is accused of child molestation essentially is poised to win a race against a man who put Klansmen
in
prison,
jail.
And
he shouldn't
and,
even
and
be
one of the guys.
Killed.
Oh, well, one of the people said, well, that's because of the Democratic Party. And I just said, let me stop you right there. I says, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about how shitty the Democratic Party is while the Republicans are out there giving enormous tax breaks to, you know, the very wealthy, while they're polluting this country and polluting your children, or, you know, they're leaving a polluted world for your future children and grandchildren. And we're sitting here screaming about how non-pure, how corrupt the Democratic Party is. I said, first of all, have you ever been to Washington? The whole goddamn place is corrupt. It's an island and surrounded by a sea of corruption. You know, everybody's corrupt there. You know, I told him, and I'm just so sick of it, man. Because like the Democratic Party, yeah, they wouldn't be my first choice.
John, it depends on one's definition of corruption. There's a whole bunch of people who call themselves progressives for whom corruption is defined by not bowing five times a day at the shrine of Bernie Sanders. unless you spit on the ground and jump up and down three times and holler goddamn DNC, you know, five times a day at the same time, well, you know, you're corrupt, you're an establishment shill.
Well, but let me tell you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
It's all these high-haired women with the honeydew haircuts that are serving banana pudding every Wednesday night on Bob's show, and their husbands, their bald-headed fat husbands, That's why
That's Alabama. That's right. Alabama again. I'm talking more nationally. If you want to talk about Alabama, I've got a sign here. You know those church signs those church signs where they put up their weekly message there out in front of the church. Well, this comes from the Living Way Ministries. Living Way Ministries. They falsely accused Jesus! Vote Roy Moore.
And these stupid son of a bitches will fall for it.
Actually,
but
the fact of the matter is, actually, they didn't falsely accuse Jesus. Jesus said he was guilty of what they charged him with.
Right, but the messages they're conveying on those billboards, you know, these stupid son of bitches will fall for it.
Yeah, because Jesus equals Roy Moore. I mean, didn't Jesus say, suffer the little children to come unto me and sit on my lap? And hey, darling, you want to go on a date?
Can we go back to, I want to go back to Bernie Sanders real quick.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
I voted for Bernie Sanders, okay?
So did I.
But I got to tell you something.
Me too.
That judge the other day, a Trump nominee, a Trump judge, a guy that was nominated by Trump and was confirmed, just pretty much screwed the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Would anybody care to guess which are the only two senators that voted against his confirmation? Kristen Gildebrand and Elizabeth Warren. They had the foresight to know what this guy was all about. And, you know, and the fact of the matter, I'm just calling a spade, Bernie Sanders voted to confirm him. So remember when you said no collaboration?
Yep.
I've got a real problem with that, you know.
Well, let me just say that this particular, that particular judge, I forget his name. It's Kelly, somebody Kelly. His last name is Kelly. He was rated by the ABA as extremely well qualified. And so maybe the senators were voting based on that.
The CFPB issue was not settled law. There was a conflict of laws there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a matter of judicial philosophy as to which law you let take precedent.
Right. Right. There was a more recent law. The more specific, more recent law basically said that the outgoing head of the Consumer Financial Protection Board could appoint somebody to act on their way out. And then there's an older, provision that basically gives the president, power to appoint people. I forget what that statute is, but it's a 98 law. And obviously the Consumer Financial Protection Board was just created in 2010 or something like that. Right. So
right.
So it's a question. It's a question of statutory interpretation. I suspect that the case is probably going to get elevated, maybe to the Supreme Court level.
And okay. we know how it comes out there.
And, yeah. and you know how the wheels of justice, how fast they move too.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Don't hold your breath for anything to happen quickly here, because it's not going to.
Well, I'm not holding my breath for anything after Wells Fargo gets away with, fraud and, they can't be fined by the government. They can't be sued by individual, bank account holders because they signed this bogus arbitration clause in the, adhesion contract.
And Rick, would I be optimistic in saying that it will probably be end of 2018 before we come to any kind of conclusion or closure on this thing?
On the whole investigation?
Yes, sir.
The Russia investigation? Probably.
Yes, sir.
It's probably going to go. This is what my hope is, that it goes not just into 2018, but even to early 2019. And the reason for that is there would be a new Congress in place. And so if we can get rid of both Trump and Pence somehow, the third in line would be, the Speaker of the House, and it would no longer be Paul Ryan. So
I'm on the highway right now, right? And I'm behind a truck that has a picture. Now, everybody get the hockey puck as a sticker or a window, no, like a bumper sticker that has a picture of a semi-auto rifle that says, is it because I'm black?
Oh, yeah, that's a,
I mean, I just want to punch the freaking steering wheel right now. I mean, this is ridiculous. These fucking wing nuts, man. I mean, they won't stop.
I think you need to. I think you need to throw that truck driver a Trumpy bear filled with Tannerite and shoot the bear.
Now stop that!
That Trumpy bear. That I'm not gonna lie. Maybe I'm alarmist, but that kind of scared me, man. Because that's a little bit too deer leaderish.
Well, of course you don't think that that's how the maggots are.
They
don't respect Donald Trump. They goddamn worship him. Okay, it's not a movement. It's not a party. It's a cult.
It's a cult. Yeah,
and nobody thinks that's an onion front or farce or anything. I mean,
it's verified. It's Steve. It's real.
I know. I've looked at it. It looks bona fide, but I just can't wrap my head around it being bona fide.
I don't think the History Channel would run it 75 times a day if it was just a bit.
Let's take a step back for a second here. This is not the first time that consumer products regarding a president have been advertised. Do you all remember the chia, the Obama chia head that was advertised around Christmas a few years ago? You don't remember that. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not like this is unprecedented, you know? So...
But to wrap yourself in the flag, remember
right.
What Sinclair Lewis said when fascism comes
John.
To America,
exactly.
They're going to wrap themselves, it's going to come wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that differentiates that the chia thing from the Trumpy bear, but, we're past the bend already. You know, it's a question as to whether we're going to be able. We're going to fall into the sea or not at this point. You know, we're on our way down there already, you know. Fascism is here, as Bob has said recently. Right, Bob?
That's all I can come up with.
Yeah.
It's not Mueller's job to save us. We're going to have to save ourselves somehow.
Well, that's quite true, but I think Mueller can at least prod Congress to take action if he does the right thing, you know? I really don't think he's a fan of Trump either, to tell you the truth, you know? Because he and Comey are very good friends, and, you know, they work together and, you know, respect each other, and, you know, the way Trump treated, you know, Comey to basically fire him to get rid of the Russia thing, you know? And he told Kislyak that the next day, the day after he fired Comey, he met with the Russians in the Oval Office, and, you know, God knows what national secrets he gave away during that meeting, you know?
I think that this thing with Roy Moore, I think it's kind of backfiring. There's a lot of people out here that you might want to call them the silent majority or whatever, but they don't like what's going on with Roy Moore. And now they're not these holy rollers, you know, these Middle East worshiping holy rollers. They're, you know, they're just people that think that, you know, there's the right and wrong way to do things. And they don't like Roy Moore. And they think it's a shame. They, you know, Alabama's getting a bad name with a lot of people over this Roy Moore thing. It's just nobody's saying anything.
And you know what, Charlie, they're used
to
it. They're used to it. And I'm not... Of course, let me add the necessary, not all Alabamians, because I know a lot of good progressive Alabamians. But the fact of the matter is, the hardcores, the dead enders, the hard cases down there are used to being looked down upon, and they kind of wear it as a badge of honor. And they've worn it since their grandpappies and grandmammies were running to the polls to vote for George Wallace after the stand in the schoolhouse door.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the song Sweet Home Alabama, the lyrics to that, you know? you know, as a response to Neil Young's Southern Man, you know?
Yeah, but some of that was tongue-in-cheek.
It could be.
Is Lynyrd Skynyrd, I know they're from Jacksonville, Florida, but are they wing nuts? Anybody know that?
They were pretty much hippies before the crash, but those who went on, an element of them went on to, you know, work the state fair circuit, and some of them are wing nuts, absolutely.
Then you had them splinter off into Rossenden Collins. They went all kind of different directions.
Can you all let me know which ones are wing nuts so I can be sure to attend their concerts?
We'll get the research department on that. You know, you just focus on getting that, getting those Ted Nugent tickets and those Kid Rock tickets, will you?
I'll take one for the team and go to the shows, okay?
Bob's crack staff or his crack on staff. We're on it, man.
Yeah.
Is Al Stewart still alive?
Hey, I think he is. And by the way, the killer is still alive, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's because we've enlightened you, and you've since learned to use your powers for good.
Well, that's true. I've sort of eased up on that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the problem was that when I was younger, I used to, like, stare at cars and set them on fire, you know? So I've kind of eased up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Like Carrie, you know?
Hey, guys, I got to bump off, but before I do, because I got a gig on my way to a gig, I just want to tell everybody a little story real quick. I had a gig a couple weeks ago. We opened up for a band around here that is a Motley Crue cover band or tribute band, and I was helping one of the members of the band and unload his equipment, and it was like a club in New York City where the top floor was like a dance club where all the younger people go, and the bottom floor is where the bands are. And there was some two girls that were coming in, going up to the club, and the guy I was helping was wearing a MAGA hat. And one girl, I saw her eyes look up a little bit at him, and she goes, "Fuck Trump." And I just figured, you know, give everybody a little bit of hope, you know.
I think she deserves a bell for that, cowbell.
Yeah. and you know, he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. I thought he was going to go on a tangent.
Maybe he was wearing it ironically.
No. He was a biker type.
Are you in a band? Are you in a band?
I'm in two bands now, actually.
That's awesome, bro. What do you play?
Thanks. I play lead guitar.
Awesome. Which guy? Rock and roll, or please tell me it's rock and roll.
One band is a lot of rock and roll, a little bit of country, some a little bit of heavy stuff, and the other band is a lot of the newer age, heavier stuff like Chevelle.
We may have just lost him.
May have. Well,
I could tell he was a Trump.
Yeah, well,
like a biker type. But
tear it up.
I appreciate that, Steve.
Tear it up and break a leg tonight, John.
Tear it up, man. And if you get any video of your bands, post them.
Or as they say at the beginning of...
Stimulate.
Or as they say at the beginning of...
Yeah, I'll
love to see it, man.
Or as they say at the beginning of Sweet Home Alabama, tying it up.
Yep.
Yep.
Turn it up.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll have to get with you on Facebook then. And
that'll work.
All right, guys.
Have a great weekend, John.
Have a great show,
Take
John.
Care now. And let's see. Les has been just kind of hanging out and stuff. We haven't heard from him. Hey, Les, you there?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, I'm here. I just pulled into a truck stop in Carlisle. I figure I'd get off the road so that way you don't hear the road noise through this whack-ass headset.
So are you an over-the-road guy?
Yeah, through Expedited.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Not doing too much of it, though, because I've been parked in Pittsburgh for the last 2 days.
I'm trying to put this together, Les. Is that Hung Like Jesus in the chat room, or am I incorrect?
No,
no, I'm Black Sheep.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, nice to meet you, Black Sheep. Welcome.
Nice to meet you, too. Who's this?
It's Steve from Georgistan.
Oh, Steve from Georgistan. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, brother. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, no, that's all good. It was something else that I was going to talk about. When you mentioned Lowe's earlier, my wife's sister, my girl's sister, is staying with us for a little while, and she went to get a job at Lowe's. And when she went to do the training process, they showed her a video. And in that video, she was basically explaining to that unions are a bad thing. They're a thing of the past, and you shouldn't join one, and you shouldn't bring one into this organization. I'm paraphrasing, but it was a whole big segment on anti-union in Lowe's.
And you do not have the right to walk out on that.
You don't?
Wow. Nope. Depending on where, it's a fireable offense if you walk out on their anti-union diatribe.
But isn't that even illegal, though, to put that kind of video together? Doesn't that violate labor laws?
Absolutely not. Not anymore.
Wow.
Thank you, right-to-wake states.
That is, and this is Florida, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And Florida is a right-to-work state, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure West Virginia is. I know Georgia is.
Florida is.
Yeah. And
the rates are very low there.
They can fire you because they don't like the color of your shoes.
Well, it's called an at-will employment agreement. And the legal fiction that attends that is that the employer and the employee stand in the same status because you can be fired for any reason or no reason, and you can quit for any reason or no reason. See? Equal.
Yeah, except one of those carries a paycheck and one of those doesn't. Wow. And I was just starting to say to myself, you know, to hell with Home Depot. Every time I go in Home Depot, I'm saying to myself, I'm just putting money right in the right winger's hands. Maybe I'll start going to Lowe's instead. And to come to find this out.
No,
like,
they're evil,
damn.
Too. Look, you can't, and
you can't get away from them.
Oddly enough, I read this in an article about bourbon, but it's transferable.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbon, for instance, is marketed, and it's the hook. It's the, you know, handcrafted in small batches by the great 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 grandson of the Reverend Josiah Boogerfinger.
Maker's Mark. Sorry for that.
Knob Creek, Booker's, the Woodford Reserve.
I like that one.
Pappy Van Dingus, you know, any of it. But the fact of the matter is there's about 10 companies that make bourbon. And they're all huge multinational conglomerates. The only mom-and-pop liquor you're likely to buy is going to come in a mason jar from somebody that you know that has a still up the holler. And that's going to be Pop Skull, it's going to be clear, and if you're lucky, it'll burn blue when you light it on the table.
And it'll bead real quick, too.
Oh, it'll bead real good, if it be real good. But the thing is, all of that is transferable. I'm real guilty of this. I can't help it. I pay attention to ads in between, you know. Well, you know, when I'm watching the for-profit media, I don't care if it's SpongeBob or SportsCenter or, you know, that dirty little habit I have in the morning, I pay attention to the ads.
Because GE and Millie.
Yeah, because I realize that the ads are why the thing is there. The programming is a life support system for delivering potential purchasers, potential customers to the advertisers. Everything else is by the wayside. If they could get away with just putting up a test pattern and every 5 minutes running an ad and people would watch it, that is exactly damned well what they would do, okay? So you get, our little redheaded girl hamburgers are crafted fresh. They're never frozen.
As I stare down at the Wendy's bag in the cab right now.
Busted. Stone cold busted. See, that's...
How did you know, Bob?
Well, I'm...
How did you see that, Bob?
You know, it's my Sith powers.
There you go.
But to be fair, up here in North Georgia, they are making, like, micro beers. They are making small, crafted...
Yeah, and as quick as they're good at it, one of these conglomerates will snap them up.
Swallow them up. Yep. And they know it. And they'll tell you straight up, that's what we're shooting for.
But the same thing. But look, let's say you've got one of those hardware stores, one of those awesome hardware stores that smells of 100-year-old brass and has creaky, oily, wooden floors and everything. Well, odds are the guy that owns that's a dick too. Okay, because that's the Republican class. There's them that work and them that don't. Okay? And that's the real political divide. So you're pretty much over a barrel. It's just a matter of which dick you want to give your money to. and that comes down to a quantification of intangibles. For instance, how hard is it for me to return a piece of shit when it turns out I've bought a piece of shit? Are they going to sit there and give me the third degree, or are they going to say go get one that's not a piece of shit, or just give me my money back? Who's easier that way?
That or educate yourself on how to brew your own, but the moment you put a flame under it, you're breaking federal law. So,
dude, you're still back on liquor. I'm on hardware stores.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they kind of tie hand in hand, don't they, Bob?
Well, I try not to mix power tools and liquor. That's just me. But, you know.
That could be a dangerous combination.
And you mentioned... You mentioned...
That opened up here.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. This guy came back the truck up.
I'll have to go check it out.
Oh, I think I think you need we need a mission and we need a review.
Hold on.
You know some Ritz crackers and a little ghost pepper cheese, Sparky, might go real good with that.
Oh, I don't do that ghost pepper cheese anymore, Bob. Still there, but I don't do it.
Ghost pepper cheese.
Oh yeah, that was a thing. Sparky was sending out care packages with ghost pepper cheese, and it was some kind of hot. I mean,
jalapeno pistachio.
And the jalapeno pistachios weren't bad either, but the ghost pepper cheese. Oh my God, to get that big California sourdough like I can get in the grocery store here, and to make a grilled cheese with that ghost pepper cheese, jump back.
That'd make your eyes water, wouldn't it?
Yes, it Holy would, gotcha. and you would cry like a newborn the next morning.
Well, I'll go check at the butcher shop, see if they still got any of it. And then you
that was some brutal stuff, and it was good too.
Start up the
ghost pepper cheese
challenge for Christmas.
In fact, I tweeted this morning because I was thinking about you guys and what we'd said before. I tweeted this morning. Let me see if I can find it here so I can get the exact wording. Annoying music. I reprogrammed the robot to put 20 people out of work. That's amazing, Molly. Thank you.
Can you hear my heater?
Yeah, it's either that or you're a few hundred yards from a flight line of a bunch of jets.
Okay.
Yeah, there it was. Oh, I wasn't a criticism, Sparky. It's cool. Come back, man.
Well, I had a flight of Black Hawk helicopters fly over earlier. Call
That's funny.
The sun's going down, so I have to have that heater going and stay out here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Is it kerosene or gas?
It's gas.
Yeah.
I bought it when we had the flood 3 years ago.
Oh yeah.
I had to dry out my underhouse area. My house is built up on a wood floor, not a slab. That's what saved me from the floodwater. Just didn't save the carpet, but it saved the rest of the house and the sheetrock and all that.
Yeah, it kept it from going downstream. So did anybody else get? Was anybody else like me? Did they get a kick out of the Brent? I guess he's lucky that his story broke on when it did, but the Blake Farenthold story?
Oh, yeah, that was
I know somebody that will down in Corpus Christi. My YouTube buddy, John Brevido, that's his congressman.
Yeah, and he's a real winner, too.
Oh, he is.
I'm sure John will do a rant about him.
Well, you just kind of want to go down to his district and knock on doors and say, did you send him up to Washington to sexually harass women? Is that what you did? Were you just trying to get him off the women down there in Corpus Christi? Is that what it was all about?
Was he coming on to your wife?
I mean, that picture of him in the footy pajamas with the little rubber duckies on it, that's special. That's special. That is,
yeah, he's standing next to like a lingerie model.
So is he not going to run next time?
He'll probably just declare that Jesus has forgiven him.
Oh, I thought he'd do it, Joe Barton.
Well, Joe's so old he farts dust. Joe's vested. Joe's got everything Joe needs. Rick, don't you get to keep your war chest if you've got one when you quit?
I think you do. I'm not sure. I don't think it's your personal property. I think you can give it to somebody else. I don't think you can pocket the money yourself, though.
Like maybe you could give it to, say, a girl woman down at the exotic Kit Kat Pink Pony Lounge named Tiffany or something?
No, I don't think so. I think you can give it to another politician and let them use it in their race, that kind of thing. Or the DNC or the RNC or whatever you want
the
to do.
The DNC? Goddamn DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, establishment shills.
The devil!
Yeah, don't be saying that around here, man.
I gotta
You're
be
harsh
careful.
In my mellow.
Yeah, yeah. Well... So have you driven all of the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade members away, Bob? You think or not?
I don't know. I don't. It certainly was not my intent. You don't. This isn't the agree with Bob Kincaid program. It's just that the commitment to ideological purity that is utterly devoid of any comprehension of the political system whatsoever. It just makes me. I mean, if you just want to lose forever, cool. Just say, I'm comfortable losing forever and letting the Republicans do whatever they damned well want to do. Just say that and we're going to be all right.
Well, by that token, I suppose you should wear shirts that say kick me on it, or pants that say kick me in the ass, Right?
Stop repressing people with your virtue signaling, dude.
I was watching the History Channel, old school history, and they had Taft. And one of his commercials, satire cartoons, he had a big sign, kick me on the back of his fat ass. So what's old is new again, right?
True.
Well... I think that it's time for the White House to bring back the big bathtub that they had when Taft was president,
He got stuck in it.
Right? I wonder if they got that in the basement somewhere for
you know, the Marmalade Mugabe. Well, actually, we can't use that word anymore, but the Tangerine
Tiberius.
Sure,
we can. Do you think Tiberius is still around?
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay, Marmalade Mugabe then. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Rick, you're a music fan. Do you remember the group Motorhead?
Oh, yeah.
Lemmy Kilmister. Have you seen the commercial with Turbo the Hamster?
Oh, Jesus. I've been waiting for this one.
They took the signature song Ace of Spades and turned it into a commercial, and they ripped off Lemmy's signature song. And he just died a couple years ago. You know that would have never happened if Lemmy was on this top of the ground.
Is this like a commercial for Petco or something like that?
No, it's for a Kia.
Oh, I've seen that. Okay,
and you know what? I've ridden in one of those in the form of a taxi cab in Washington, D.C., and I can attest to the fact that that vehicle is only big enough to ride, to carry hamsters.
But an old school friend of mine, we used to have to camp out in the snow overnight to get Motorhead tickets.
Oh.
Okay. And now they're trying to project Lemmy as being some kind of cute hamster. Well, I got news for you. Lemmy's not fucking cute, man.
No.
Motorhead. Are they singing about Motorhead with that one song where it goes, Motorhead, what's the price tonight?
And now this one's Ace of Spades, and it's even heavier than that. I'll send you a link to it.
I'm kidding. I know who Motorhead.
Oh, okay. All right, Bob. All right.
That was Night Ranger, Bob.
Yeah,
I know, and it's not Motorhead either, but you know.
It's Mochahead.
Yeah. So at some point, I can give you guys a concert review. I have two concerts to review, so. Let me know when's a good time.
Okay, well, stand by. I just got a note here from Scott and Punky. Chime in on this, anybody. As Mueller steadily works his way to the center of corruption, is Russia now changing its hitherto Trump-friendly tone? Russia calls U.S. threat to destroy North Korea a bloodthirsty tirade. And it's a Reuters story, Dateline Rome. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Friday that a U.S. threat to destroy North Korea in the event of a war was a bloodthirsty tirade, and military action against Pyongyang would be a big mistake. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, that's the caption of the photo. Speaking on a visit to Italy, Lavrov strongly condemned comments made by U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who earlier this week, whose name isn't Nikki but is instead Nimrata, who earlier this week warned North Korea's leadership it would be utterly destroyed if war were to break out after Pyongyang, yada, yada, yada. If someone really wants to use force to, as U.S. representative to United Nations put it, destroy North Korea, then I think that is playing with fire and big mistake, Lavrov told reporters. No, I think that they're playing their same game. And eventually, and they haven't called in their chips. What Trump has or has not, no, he hasn't been called on what he owes yet. But what Scott and Punky point out is something that Asa was talking about a little bit ago too. He said, let's say Mueller is able to take both Trump and Pence down. What posture do you think that thug Putin is going to take? That is not nice thing to call dear comrade Putin thug. You not that is not nice at all. Once he realizes he doesn't have his minion in the White House anymore. He did mention they were getting ready for war because of tensions around North Korea earlier today. Yeah, well, I'm so old. I remember when precious little members of the Purity Patrol were shrieking at the top of their lungs before November 2016, Hillary Clinton gonna get us in a war with Russia. It'll be World War III. I remember that. I really do. But, yeah. And you know, Steve, every time I see Gordo now, I think of you. That's not an insult. I mean, you're just the one that brought it to my attention. But if this tense bullshit, if this tense bullshit continues, I'm going to sign up for Talkspace and go and lay on a couch in the middle of Times Square because I'm going to need some help.
And Molly, and I had to review that commercial. You know, she doesn't actually carry the trash to the second story, but if you'll look at it, she has to go outside and put it on a hook. They don't show you all this. And Molly's probably, 3-4 foot? So she's going to have to climb a ladder, risk life and limb, to put her trash on a hook simply.
Well, the thing that gets me is, come on, Steve,
stop telling people how to do commercials.
Stop telling children how to invent robots. The one that gets me is the prosthetic hand that turns the biology.
That turns the page, yeah.
And you know, it's biology class, and she's sitting there earnestly doing engineering. So, you know, there's a message there, too. Fuck biology. Robotics is what matters. Biology has to do with living things. Robotics is just machines.
And you know what? You don't have to pay robots a salary. That's the beauty of it, Bob.
Yep, that's right. Every now and then, on a long and lonely road, north of Butte, Montana. Sorry, you said the magic phrase. But the prosthetic hand just you know kind of sways
creepy.
Me. But you know, it's all well and good until Skynet comes online. And the rest of the robots start doing what that robot down in Alabama did, and, you know, crushing its operator to death.
And you got me to thinking, the lawnmower on the rope, what happened when it runs out of rope? Is it just going to twist around and catch the whole yard on fire? I mean...
No, it's just going to sit there and pull and pull and tug, maybe turn itself over. You know, maybe the family pet gets close to it and gets ground up in the mower, but... Hey, that's a biological thing. That's not a robot. That's GE's about robots, not living things.
That's right. That's not Molly's problem.
Can I tell you a story about GE? I do a couple runs to them through one of these big carriers. And out of several big industrial companies that work with the carrier that I work with, they're always the ones that beat you down all the way down on the price. And I take stuff up to their plant in Schenectady. And every time without fail, anytime I do a job for them, always get beat down on price. And then to come to find out, these assholes don't pay no taxes in this country.
Why am I not surprised?
But they want to screw the drivers, they want to screw the workers down to the last damn nickel.
Sure.
And well, I'll take the job, and which is the sad part, because if there's nothing going on, what are you going to do? All right, so I'll do that.
Yeah.
Don't damn well they screw me out of like $150 to $200.
Bastard.
Hey, Les, let me ask you a question. Are you seeing an increase in robotic-operated or automated trucking? Have you seen any in your travels or not?
No, that's not a thing yet. That's going to be too expensive at the moment. But what I have noticed is that the freight compared to 4 years ago, 5 years ago, it's really went down hard. The amount of shipments that was going out before, like just to give an example, I blew the engine on my box truck. I rented a rider truck by the week. And you know how expensive that could be. And I was making money with renting a rider truck every week and filling that thing with gas and putting tolls on the easy pass. Now, I just got done sitting in Pittsburgh for 2 days. Nothing. I'm driving home empty from Pittsburgh all the way back to Long Island.
Wow, jeez.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's not
good. That's like 1,000 miles, isn't it?
It's about 400 and change.
Yeah, it's a lot.
400 and change, yeah. It's like about a 7.5-hour drive from end to end.
Damn.
Yeah.
So do you think less stuff is flowing in from China? Is that the deal, or what's going on? Why is there less stuff to haul?
Well, the stuff that's coming in from China is coming in on containers.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the containers on the chassis, that's the foreign stuff.
Yeah. But
generally, the stuff that I deal with is not so much store merchandise, but more of like industrial and machinery and parts and stuff like that.
Right.
That's hit the floor.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was a time where I had so much of it coming at me. I hired on a bunch of other owner operators and contracted them to me, and I had a little team going. Lost every last one of them because the work fell off.
Ah. So you've noticed this for like the last couple of years, or when? When did you notice the drop off at first?
I'm going to say about the last. I'm going to say like the last. For the last 3 years, it's been going down, but it'll have like little spikes. It'll pop back up and make you think, oh, we're back. And it'll go right back down and pop back up and go back down. But now I've noticed it seems to have gone down and it's staying down.
Mm. So that's a reflection of what? A decrease in the manufacturing capacity of the country? Or what do you think that's a reflection of?
I think that's a reflection of, you know, you got too many trucks, not enough freight, and everybody's bending over and pulling their pants down to get a load.
Yeah.
And it's got to the point now where, like, I do expedite. I do, you know, stuff that has to be there yesterday. But if you can get a tractor trailer to do that same run for cheaper than I could do it, and he's going to do a direct run, then you put it on his truck. Like, some of the rates that they're putting out there is it's criminal.
Mm.
You know, take something from Florida to Virginia, $150, $200.
Hmm. Jeez, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Hmm.
Not even gas money.
Yeah,
but if
wow.
you got the room, you could stack a lot of it on there. I drive a straight deal, so, you know, my deal is a more specialized thing.
Yeah.
And that's going away.
So are you like a solo proprietor, or what do you got going on there, Les?
Yeah, just me.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's got to wear your ass out.
Mm.
You know what? I begin each week excited and end each week cursing. Like, why the fuck am I still doing this shit? But then you'll get the job next week. One day you'll start off and you'll be like, okay, this week's going to be a good week. This week we're going to do something. Like, in fact, when I stopped talking, I just booked another job for Monday, a little short haul from New Jersey into JFK. I'm saying, okay, that's a start. And then you get that done early enough, and then you're open to the second job, and that's how it moves. But that's only if the second, third, and fourth job comes. It just this whole business is I guess, kind of a reflection of where this country is going. It's slowing down. And I see it. In fact, even I'm sitting in a truck stop right now in Carlisle, packed to the hilt. And I bet you half of these guys are sitting here probably looking for work to get out of here.
Just sitting and waiting.
Just sitting and waiting.
Hmm.
And after you sit and wait for a day or two, and some broker offers you some, you know, underpaying load, you'll do anything to move out of this spot to get to someplace else.
Yeah, at least you're thinking, at least I might break semi-even.
It's not Jesus, even break even. Sometimes you say, okay, well, I'll put this on and I'll move from here to there. Maybe there's some better work, because you're trying to look at the map and kind of figure out where the work is going to pop up. Because sometimes you're just too far away to get a job. Like, I'm in Pittsburgh, I'm seeing jobs pop in New Jersey. Can't get there in time. So you try to play that game like, okay, I'll take a chance on this cheap paying crap because it'll push me to someplace where I might get something better. But that isn't guaranteed.
Man, we are sticking folks the hardest that help us the most. It's got to stop. It's got to turn around. It can't keep going like this.
So Les.
It's going to stop.
The big news, last week was the announcement of the Tesla tractor trailer, you know, the all electric.
Yeah.
I take it from what you just said that you're not impressed.
I haven't really looked into it that tough, but it was just a matter of time before they came up with something like this. The only problem with it is, how are you going to do the long haul part of it? That's not going to, you're not going to get the range on that thing.
No, it's not. It's not a cross country affair. I think the range on it's something like 500 miles. So you know, it's you know, if you've got a 250 you know, 250 mile run and you can be there and back, yeah, cool. But God, I how long it would take to charge that battery?
That was the next question I was going to ask. Like, that must take like a whole damn 2 days to charge that up. But here's the other thing, though. Like, we have a Volt, and the Volt technology could very easily be put into a truck. You have a small diesel engine, powering a generator, powering an electric motor. That could work, and that could go cross country with no problem if somebody would ever build a damn thing.
Well, I mean, that's the same principle that a diesel train runs on. The diesel engine doesn't pull the train. The electric motor does, and the diesel engine drives the electric motor. At least that was my understanding.
Yeah, I don't even think there's batteries in between. I think it's a straight generated straight to the wheels on the train.
Yeah,
on the older trains, I guess. I don't know what the newer trains are like, but yeah, even with that, the cost of that is going to be per unit is going to be through the ceiling. I can only imagine their cars are like what, $90,000.
Well, Tesla says they will eventually introduce an automobile that'll come in at about $36,000.
I think that's the Model S, the one that they're trying to scale up to produce.
Not the Model S, it's the Model X.
Yeah, it's Model the X. Yeah.
Okay.
And Les, is there a union you can opt into, or is that not even an option for you?
Well, I'm the owner of the company. I mean, I'm pretty much a prick as a boss, but I don't think I need a union against myself.
No, I understand that. I just thought there may be, you know, like some kind of Teamsters thing you could get involved in that you would be guaranteed a fair wage. And that's the old school, but that's gone forever, isn't it?
I don't think they have
if I was working, it wouldn't work for somebody like me. Yeah.
Well, you know, less
guys like me are like the enemy to the Teamsters because we're considered scabs, you know. We're outside of the union structure.
You're like an independent. So I guess as a sole proprietor, you could like negotiate against yourself then if you wanted to create a union, right?
Yeah, right. I tell wife, I'm like, I'm trying to get some time off, but my boss is a prick.
You can file a claim for unemployment after your boss fires you.
There you go.
Jeez.
Hey, the one good thing about unions is that pension payday that comes to end last business day every month.
Talk, Sparky. I mean, people need to know this shit, you know. Well, the unions have taken a hit lately, and there is a lot of benefit for them.
But the unions did it to themselves, though.
Well, we did it to ourselves, friend.
Hmm?
We did it to ourselves.
Yeah. My father and mother both union. My dad was with communication workers, Verizon, back in the days when it was Bell Atlantic.
My dad was AT&T union leader. Go ahead.
Yeah, and my mother, SEIU, worked for the state RN. And so I come from a union family, but, you know, the state of this country right now and what unions have done by backing these Republican assholes since I was a little kid, they destroyed themselves. Starting with Ronald Reagan and moving on forward. And even just even this last election with Trump, how many union people supported this asshole?
Probably 40% or
way
more.
Way too damn many.
Sure. Yeah, and I appreciate the re-education. I'm starting to rethink the way I've felt about unions, but I always felt that, you know, union was a good thing. And if you'll trace it back, you can't learn everything from TV, but watch the movie Hoffa.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
Yeah, and really, if we could have stuck to that concept and not gotten away from it, I don't think we'd be in this fucking mess we're in now.
Yeah.
All I know is that IBEW celebrated their 126th birthday last month.
Wow.
My wife's in an awesome union, and it keeps us afloat. If it wasn't for the union, we'd have went under years ago, man.
Letter carriers?
Yeah.
Yeah, look what they're doing to you guys with that, you having the fund pensions, 90
Yeah. For people that aren't even born yet. Well, that ain't the union. That's what Congress is doing to them.
Well, here's a question, though. I hear that, and I hear when that took place, right?
It was a lame duck session during the Bush administration. This is exactly when it took place.
Right. So we just went through 8 years of Obama. In the first year, he had, well, for a portion of the first year, he had the Congress and the Senate. Why didn't they kill that bullshit and fix that straight away? Why was that allowed to ride out?
I have no idea, Fred. Well, it's a million-dollar question, and
any,
Bob can probably
anytime I hear, oh, they had the Senate and the House, my pink little ears perk up because it's just not true. Okay? It took up into, what was it, August of 2011? August of 2009?
Before, and that's what Squeezy,
before,
Al Franken.
Before, oh,
they can't even bring him
stop,
on.
Stop, Squeezy. Know? Now quit that. It took up until August of 2011, or 2009.
Levity, Bob. Levity.
Of 2009, before Franken was able to take his seat. And even then, the so-called Democratic majority that you had was a Democratic majority that was comprised of people like Blanche fucking Lincoln and Joe fucking Manchin and Mary fucking Landrieu. And a bunch of other...
Can I be a little...
And some other mugwumps.
Can I be a little bit politically incorrect here?
Please do.
Fuck Blanche Lincoln. Fuck that bitch.
Well, and the horse the others rode in on, too. But it remains a fact that those were the people who were there, and they were Democrat enough to create a majority, but not Democrat enough to carry out the agenda that Barack Obama said that he wanted.
Yeah, because some of them are just as much Klan as the Republicans.
I mean, I've told this story a million times, and I'll tell it again. It was the day after the inauguration in January 2009. Guy James and I sat in the hearing room where the Watergate hearings went down in the Russell Senate Office Building for a progressive Senate media meeting. Okay? And the people who are, Tom Hartman was there, it was me, Guy James, everybody who was calling themselves progressive media back then were there. And there were boodles of Democratic senators with some progressive cred, some more than others, but Bernie was there, Debbie Stabenow was there. Sherrod Brown was there. Oh, yeah, he came over and greeted Guy James, and you would have thought that Guy James blew up the first football for Ohio State University. The degree of deference that Sherrod Brown offered him. And during the course of this event, Harry Reid showed up. And Harry Reid stood there and told us, and he wasn't blowing smoke up our asses. There was a lot of stuff being hoped for. The full horror of the Bush economic meltdown had not been felt yet. And he said, and this is just one example, card check, the Employee Free Choice Act. That was going to impose card check across the board so that it would be easier for unions to organize workers. He stood there and he said, we will have card check by July, by summer. And he wasn't being disingenuous. He really thought that. He really thought that.
He was sincere. He was sincere when he said
that.
Yes,
and another couple of months went by. The economy went to shit. And when they brought up the Employee Free Choice Act, there was Ben Nelson and Blanche Lincoln and Mary Landrieu and Joe Manchin all saying, well, we can't afford to make it so that business will be harder to do by having a bunch of damn unions. And boom, the Employee Free Choice Act was deader than a 3-week-old mackerel.
And you know what?
You can't pin that on Barack Obama.
And Wisconsin, when they jumped on board, that was the death knell, man.
No, I wasn't pinning it on Barack Obama. I'm talking about the Democratic Party as a whole. I was saying that Barack Obama he hit the ground running. He had an agenda to go for, and his own damn party screwed him. And his own party screwed him to the point where Republicans were able to slide in and really get to fucking him. And all of us by extension. So my question is, you know, this is part of the thing that makes the Purity Brigade, of which I will say that I was a member for a short time, you know, this is part of the thing that makes the Purity Brigade's argument make sense. These assholes have to go. Because if these assholes don't go, I don't care if you get Kamala Harris in there as the next president, or if Nancy Pelosi, I'd say whatever you want to say about her, Nancy Pelosi gets in there as, you know, a result of Pence and Trump getting their ass yanked backwards out of the White House and impeachment back to back, and she takes over. Okay, even if that happens, you still got this blue dog bullshit Democratic Party, and this is where I agree with the Purity Brigade. Why? Why even have these people in the party? And if this is part of the party, then you don't have a Republican and a Democrat.
Look, I would like a Republican and a Democrat party. I would love nothing more than to have a bunch of at least pink Democrats all across the country. You know, single payer health care, guaranteed basic income, the right to make it easy to organize into collective bargaining units, unions. I'd love to have all of that.
Safe working environment.
Not another goddamn peep said about a woman's right to choose, for Christ's sakes. Okay. Yep. I would love all of that. However, there's a little problem. Some of those folks are not going to be electable in some states. A Democrat from West Virginia is not going to be the same as a Democrat from Oregon, because there are different political dynamics that go into getting elected. And as I've pointed out before, just let me finish this for a minute, Steve, because I'm not calling you out, man.
Yeah.
This is worth talking about. You know, like I said, they had enough Democrats to have a majority, but not enough Democrats to do Democratic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, the one thing, you know what the one thing holding back Doug Jones in Alabama is? The fact that he clearly, plainly, and unequivocally said, I will not support any legislation that interferes with a woman's right to make decisions about the workings of her own body.
Jesus.
Between her doctor and her God. Where does government have any business in that? And of course it's true, and he stuck it right between the ribs of the Republicans, because, you know, they're the small government bunch. But it'll be enough to do him in.
Well, government and God should not even be pronounced in the same sentence ever. Period.
Is that what's going to do him in, or is it the fact that he prosecuted those Klan assholes?
No, it's going to be
people got Klan in their family.
No, it's going to be the precious little fetuses. Okay, because everybody gets their maiden form. If you're an evangelical, you can't hardly have any fun in this life, because you're always thinking about all the precious little fetuses, poor little fetuses, that I wouldn't give a rat's ass about 15 fucking seconds after they were born. Okay? That's what's, you know, that's what's gonna do the trick. But it's a complicated process, or it's a complicated system, because even if you've got a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress in both houses, that is no guarantee that you're going to get necessarily what you want, because the powers are constitutionally separated, and the Congress, at least when we've got a Democratic Congress, the Democratic Congress doesn't like thinking of itself as nothing but a rubber stamp lick spittle for the guy in the White House. I mean, there are books after books after books written on this. And so when you say throw the bums out, let me give you an example. And this one hits really close to home, because I'm talking about my senator. There's a possibility, and I've said this before, I don't know if you heard me, Les. Consider this scenario. We're able to take the Senate seat that Jeff Flake is giving up. We're able to beat Heller in Nevada. And let's just, you know, fantasize that Doug Jones wins in 11 days. That's 3 Republican seats. That's enough. Bob Corker's
seat. Still got Joe Manchin.
Bob Corker's seat's going to be empty. The only thing that happens then is that every Democrat has to win his or her reelection effort, and one of those Democrats is Joe Manchin. Now, Joe Manchin is a giant howling pain in my ass. I've spent a lot of time working on issues related to human health and mountaintop removal in Washington, D.C. And Joe Manchin, without fail, is probably the reason why we have not had more success in the Senate than we have had. Okay? So what do I do? Now, obviously, by any metric, Joe Manchin does not meet anything remotely close to my purity standards. And they're not even that high in terms of purity standards.
He's a tool by any sense of the word.
Okay.
And I've got uglier words, but I'm not going to go there.
But what do I do?
Well, you got to do it.
Do I
got to go back to your binary thinking and do what
do
is
I
best?
Do I think about the well-being
you're
of
gonna have to-
Do I
you
think
have to vote for the son of a bitch.
Do I think
what
about,
else can you
do? I think about the well-being of my entire country and try to make sure that we get a Democratic majority in the Senate? Or do
at
I say
so-
no? No, my single issue is more important than somebody's health care, somebody's retirement, somebody's ability to just stay alive and not be ground into the dust under corporate America's boots. I'm going to have to wear a ball gag into the voting booth in order to vote for Joe Manchin. Okay.
Well, at least you'll know 50% and plus one, he will caucus with the Democrats.
Take them for the team, Bob. You got to take them for the team.
Wait, hold up. Wait, yeah, you see, that's the thinking. You take one for the team and put this asshole back in, right? But really, truthfully, the damage is already done.
And a lot of it, friend, is grassroots, too. We've got to get governors in there that represent us, because all this gerrymandering is killing us.
Let me just get this off real quick.
Yeah, no, cool. I want to hear from you, man.
We're done. We're already done. I told Rick this on the first time I ever spoke on Friday on the front porch after the show was over. The damage has already been set in place. And the only thing left to do now is burn this whole shit down and rebuild it. There's no fixing this anymore. We are part of a global economy, and the globe is giving us the finger, thanks to Donald Trump.
But that thinking, friend, got us Donald Trump.
No, that was stupidity. I mean, I voted the right way when it came to the how Bob says the two question IQ tests.
You know, I consider you
a
friend.
Oh, you mean the quadrennial?
Certainly not gooning on you.
The quadrennial one question IQ test? Yeah.
Yeah,
I passed that. But the problem is, being that this asshole's in, and being that he's basically destroyed us around the world has already built a whole, they're working on a whole system to just exclude the United States. So we're done. It's just a matter of how fast we hit the ground. But the ground is coming up. And the question I have now is, at this point, do we continue the same old shit and put the Blanche Lincolns and the Ben Nelsons and the Joe Manchins and Mary Landrews back in office so that the next time maybe somebody like a Bernie comes along, they'll be able to screw him the way they screwed up Barack Obama.
Okay, well, so that's why I went.
Why don't we just let it burn?
That's why I went to the all the trouble of laying out the Joe Manchin thing. So now here's your choices. If you're not going to have Joe Manchin, you're going to have either a former pharma lobbyist whose wife is still a pharma lobbyist who helped create the pill problem in West Virginia, or you can have a little mugwump nobody in the form of Evan Jenkins, who doesn't have enough, if his brains were gas, he wouldn't be able to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. Or, hey, you want to burn it down? I got a guy for you, Les, who knows how to burn shit down. I got you Don Blankenship, and he can roast 29 human beings in 10 fucking seconds.
Wow, I don't even want to laugh at that.
I knew it's not funny. I knew it was coming, though. That's what makes it funny. I've seen that 4 steps before Bob even said it.
So, however, you know, whatever an asshole, whatever a useless dick Joe Manchin is,
he's better
Patrick Morrissey, Evan Jenkins, and Don Blankenship are standing in the wings waiting to prove to you that he didn't know dick about being no dick.
He's the smaller or the larger dick, whatever your preference is.
He's the biggest dinkus or whatever.
Or the smaller.
But I mean, does any of that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense.
You're going to get fucked.
This is terribly complicated shit.
So basically, West Virginia has a choice of bending over and taking 3 inches or 9.
No, West Virginia. West Virginia, you know, no, there's no choice. We will probably do the stupidest possible thing we can do.
But it's nothing new. I mean, it goes all the way back to Robert Byrd. I mean.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Hey, I just did. Yeah, go ahead. Hate me if you want.
No, I mean, no, I'm not gonna hate you, but he was a conservative Democratic senator. But he was a fairly reliable vote for working people's issues. He was a constitutional scholar. I mean, the real kind.
Know which color the worker was.
Say what?
I'm just going to zipper up my lip and not even say.
Yeah, there's the Klan stuff. But how many Klansmen do you know that have said, yeah, I was in the Klan. That was a terrible, awful, god-awful mistake that I made. And I am sorry for it, and I have been sorry for it since day one. I don't know many clans. I don't know many hardcore Kleagles that do that.
But he was notoriously known for bringing home pork to West Virginia, Bob.
Yeah, you know what? You know what?
Here's the
interesting thing. It was pork if West Virginia got it. It was an appropriation if California got it, or New York, or Indiana. But it's pork. If the hillbillies get it, well, we loves us some bacon. West Virginia got some fucking roads, pork barrel cocksucking son of a bitch. The nerve of that goddamn bird making sure that people drive on something besides mud ruts in West Virginia. Goddamn pork barrel wet.
The Tallahatchie Bridge, goddamn you, you know. I'm joking.
Oh, man, you know what? Now that you got pork on the table.
Before we go there, I gotta do something real quick. I have to send out thanks to Angel. Thank you very kindly, Angel, for jumping in. We got, in order to get the matching challenge, the $200, okay, we got $120 to go. 10 at 12, 12 at 10, 1 at 120, 2 at 60, 4 at 30, 8 at 15. But, you know,
We got 20 minutes.
Don't let it, please, you know, let's not let a $200 challenge just go. And especially not this one that's done in the memory of somebody who did so much for the horn for so many years. Okay? And so, you know, that having been said. But no, I mean, I'm not being mean or anything about that, but I got so sick of hearing Fox News saying, oh, Robert Byrd brought home some pork. It's like what little bit West Virginia has that states that have so much more are like, look at them. We could pay 15 feet of road for what they got out of what Robert Byrd sent down there. Goddamn pork barrel. And it's a reality. You have to live here to understand it. And then somebody else brings in a little bit of pork, like say Joe Manchin, brought in some pork for bandwidth infrastructure improvement. And he gave
How's that working out for you, Bob?
Yeah, he gave all the money to Verizon, and then Verizon left. And in comes Frontier and goes, what's the internet?
Right, and they sold all their, they split off Verizon to Frontier. And that's why you're in the mess you're in.
Ooh-wee! I do love paying a shit ton of money for 10 down and 1 up.
At one time, you were Verizon. I don't know, maybe not. While you were doing what you're doing now.
When we first started this, we were paying $900 a month for one half of a T1.
God almighty.
I mean, that's kind of how old we were. Bandwidth was expensive once.
Right. It's not now.
Now it's just damned hard to come by.
Well, it's at every cable line now, but the thing of it is, and this is a whole other issue we don't have time to get into, is net neutrality. We're fixing to get bent over the rails again.
Yeah, and like I said the other night, you want something that'll get people out of their seats? Screw with their cable and their internet. Then you'll have a revolution on your hands. I mean, what's Frontier going to do with net neutrality? Charge me more for shittier service? I mean, they can't get much shittier than they are before I just turn it off.
Bob, can I ask a favor? Would you explain this to maybe where I can understand it? The way I understand it now, I'm with Windcrab. If I go to another internet service provider, say Comcast or Frontier, there's a gate charge. Is that the way it works, or am I not understanding this correctly?
I got no idea. I have no choices here, so I have not been forced to learn about that.
So if somebody wanted to go get a horn download, they would, even though you're giving it away, they would still have to pay a fee to somebody.
If they get their way, yeah, I guess. Or if you want it to download quickly instead of, you know, at something approaching a reasonable speed.
And that's just pure greed, because once they get it established, it's at your cable line. It's already there.
As the entity that's having stuff slowed down. I mean, I'm not charging anything, so it seems to me that I'd have some sort of recourse against anybody that charged anybody else. Hey, I want a piece of that, you son of a bitch.
Is it coming? It's gonna open up a
litigation nightmare, isn't it, Rick?
Litigation is not a nightmare. Litigation is a blessing, Bob. Yeah, it will.
It may help.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, are you on DSR or do you got cable connection, if you don't mind?
No. Frontier's a telephone company.
So you're on DSL then.
Or some permutation of it, yes.
Once they get their shit together and realize if you can get a cable connection, that's what happened with Windcrab. They finally realized, look,
I can get a cable connection, Steve. It just isn't. It's far less reliable than what this is. Now, what does that tell you? I just said that.
Wow.
It is far less reliable than what this is.
And see, typically it's flip flop. Typically, cable is much more reliable than DSL.
And it depends. It depends on how you. It depends on how you measure things. You know, cable comes across what is, for all intents and purposes, a party line. So at 6 o'clock, when everybody's getting home from work, I don't. You know, if you've got 75 down and 15 up, it can go. It can fall way. It can fall right off a cliff because everybody's running home and watching porn while dinner's cooking.
Well, I've got Kinect, K-I-N-E-C-T, or fiber optic, and I'm always now, I went from 3, and I'm always now above 50. 50 up, I mean, 50 down, 10
I
up.
Mean, we were connected through these jokers a few years ago, and, you know, I run the rerun stream every night, right? Well,
yep.
That's every bit of 64 kbps. And they could not even keep a 64 kbps stream going 24/7. Or actually 21/7. They couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'd get up in the morning and everything would be buffered up and shut down, and it had nothing to do with the White Rose server.
Are they giving you any promises of being on a cable connection? That's the way it happened with Windcraft. No, it happened 2 or 3 years ago. They were saying, look, just hang with us. You know, we're working on it.
No, not really. They don't have to. You know, this is just poor little shitty little West Virginia. So, you know, it's Hobson's choice. It's the horse by the door or no horse at all. Oh, and I got to send out thanks to Brian.
Go ahead.
Brian, thank you very kindly to Brian. We just crossed under $100, $95 to go. So, you know, maybe within the next 11 minutes, if we could knock down the other $95, that would be freaking huge. Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Please, let me make a statement, Bob. If you can help the Horn out, please do, because we need this. And now we're up against all these other roadblocks, and we need funding to keep this going. If not, it's going to disappear. And then things are going to really, really get scary.
Yeah, I wish half of the jokes I make were true. I wish there was a Horn Mansion. I wish that, you know, I don't want a Gulfstream 5, but yeah, I mean.
You take the Maybach, though, Bob.
I would take the Maybach, but we're not living the life of Riley here. Yeah, I don't even have health care. Okay. Yeah. I'm not crawling up on the cross to say that.
He's not. Bob's had stomach problems for the last 3 years. As a personal friend of his, I know that. He's not yanking anybody's chain, you know.
We're not sitting down to 7-course meals at Michelin-starred restaurants. I'd say that most people who do this kind of thing would not have done this for 12 years. The way that we have here.
You know, it's no wonder your stomach's gotten eaten up. The stress and everything. Oh,
he shouldn't be this hard.
Well, some of it's born that way. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
But the other parts of it aren't.
Yeah.
And hey, I like yogurt. I bought 10 new cups of. Dannon Oikos banana cream yogurt today. I love that stuff. It's become my absolute favorite.
That's your go-to food now, or?
Well, I mean, in the morning, yeah. I'm not going to sit down to, you know, 6 eggs and a rash or a bacon or anything.
Oh God, that would ruin your whole day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh fuck, bacon, man, bacon. Stop it.
And I'll tell you what, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in 25. Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks, Rick.
Make it 30. We'll make it 30.
Thanks so much. Thanks so very much. Listen, you know, and again, I'm not belly aching. See what I said? See what I did there, Steve?
Damn, you're smooth.
Smoother than Al spit on a doorknob. But, you know, everybody do it, and I understand, because, you know, there are a lot of members of this community who don't just support this program, they support this program and 3 or 4 others.
Right.
Because it all matters to them.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, and I'm, you know, if there was some way to form a consortium, you know, or, I don't know, what would you call it, a union?
A union. There you go. There's that word again.
Kind of like the NFL owners.
But I can imagine how quickly the Horn would disappear because, you know, I've had people say, you know, nobody appreciates things that they get for free, Bob. You know, you got to at least charge them 99 cents for the podcast. And my response was, well, okay, if I'm a capitalist, that's what I'm doing. But we're trying to create conversation here, and we're trying to create community here. And if I can live with it, you know, then that's, you know, there doesn't need to be a Maybach. I don't have any business with a Maybach.
And Bob, it works. That conversation you had with Jim, I don't know when that was. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Whatever. That was some of the most powerful radio I've heard probably within the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, no, that was excellent. That was Tuesday night.
Was it Tuesday?
Trumpy Bear thing killed it, though. Oh my God!
I'm still not okay after Trumpy Bear.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody hasn't heard it, I mean, it's on WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go
night.
Check it out. Yeah, Tuesday show. It was
about an hour into it, right?
Yeah, and Jim is just—he's so cool too. I mean. His delivery and the way Bob can draw him in, that back and forth you can't beat it. Best radio ever.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was a good show. Yeah, I'm glad I pulled off the highway when that Trumpy Bear thing came up. I'm so glad. I mean, I just pulled off and I heard it. I'm like, this has got to be a joke.
you don't know, man. There were human hours devoted by people listening to this program to determine, because everybody was convinced. I mean, you look at the commercial and it's like, this is a joke. This is not real. It can't be real. And, but, I mean, people...
Just wait to see, like, Jimmy Fallon's face pop up at the end of that or something, right?
But it all starts out with Jim saying that it's running on the All Hitler Network or the All Ancient Aliens Network or whatever. Oh, I was walking by a TV today, and they had it on the History Channel, and there was something about, you know, the history of rocketry, and there was a V-2, and there was a picture of young 32-year-old Wernher von Braun. The rocket goes up, who knows where it comes down. It's not my concern, says Wernher von Braun. So, you know, I stop, I watch, because, you know, I'm a child of the space age. And son of a bitch, the next thing I know, they're talking about ancient people who lived in the, like, Van Allen fucking radiation belt before there were humans on Earth. And I'm like, really? And, you know, further proof of the decline of civilization. Aye.
Yeah. Hey, we got a quick minute for some concert.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Yeah, concert review. Oh.
Two shows.
Wait. I got a big announcement. Thanks to Jill, and thank you to John, and thank you to Alma, and thank you, Rick. We are done, and we've actually met and exceeded Shirley's challenge. So that is a big deal. So that makes Moran Monday a whole lot easier to deal with.
Awesome.
Who knows?
Awesome.
We may actually have a fundraising free Moran Monday by the time the subscriptions roll in and everything. So that's really cool.
Cool.
Can we do a college football thing too?
4 minutes.
I'm watching the Pac-12 championship. It's tied up 7-7.
Okay. That's what? Cool. Stanford and the University of Spoiled Children?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the deal. I saw two concerts last week. I saw Jerry Lee Lewis on November 24th at the Ace Theater. It's about a 2,000-seat venue. And a guy by the name of Coulter, a country singer, a kind of a folk country singer from Canada, from Saskatoon, I think, opened up. And he was actually pretty good. I don't know if anybody's heard of him. But basically, Jerry Lee came out. He played for maybe about an hour. God bless him. You know, he's like 82. I think he was helped out, like, with a walker and stuff, and a couple of people helped him as he came out. They kind of dimmed the lights. They didn't show it that much. And they plopped him on the piano, and he played for, like, about an hour and, you know, sang all of his, you know, big hits. He Chris Christopherson came on, and they sang Me and Bobby McGee together.
Oh, wow.
And, George on My Mind. C.C. Ryder, Roll Over Bite, Beethoven, Great Balls of Fire, and then, of course, it ended with a whole lot of shaking going on. So he did, like, 11 songs. But I thought it was well worth it, you know. I mean, he still has a good voice. It's amazing, you know. I hope I can sing like that at 82, you know. And then I saw just Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, the Guns N' Roses last show of their Not In This Lifetime tour at the Forum. And that was also simulcast on the Sirius XM Channel 25, I think, the Classic Rewind, they call it. And they played, they were supposed to start at 7:30. They didn't come on till 8:20, but they played till like 12:13. They played till 12:13 a.m. It was almost a 4-hour show. It was crazy. I couldn't stay for the whole show because my son had a class the next morning. He had to get up at like 7 for class the next morning. But we were able to catch the rest of the show on the radio. But, yeah, Axl has a really good range. He must have, like, a 3-octave range, his voice, you know? And
Back in the day, he had a 7-octave range.
Seven? Are you serious? Whoa.
Yes, sir.
Three is considered to be a lot, I think, right? Isn't it?
Yep.
Wow. Well, anyway,
even three is impressive. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rick. Go ahead.
No, that's cool. There's a lot to talk about. But anyway, Slash was his usual, you know, guitar impresario self, just tremendous. He did a real good, real cool solo. And then he turned it into like the theme from The Godfather, the love theme from The Godfather. And, you know, they even sang Wichita Lineman, if you could believe that, kind of as an ode to Glenn Campbell.
Oh, my God.
They did a cover of Live and Let Die with Slash in the guitar. They, of course, did their all usual songs. Oh, Slash did a – Slash and the other guitarist, I forget the guy's name, they did a Wish You Were Here guitar, like talking guitars to each other. And they did Black Hole Sun as well for Chris Cornell, the Soundgarden song. And they did a hell of a rendition of Knocking on Heaven's Door, so much so that by the end of the song, my voice was getting hoarse. And then they came back. I guess they finished with Night Train, and then they came back for an encore. I figured, oh, they're going to play just two songs, then we'll go. Well, they played Patience and then A Whole Lot of Rosie, to, you know, for Malcolm Young. And then I think they did another song called There Was a Time. I don't know if that's the AC/DC or not. Maybe it's not. Doesn't say it is. And they played The Seeker by The Who, next to last song, and then Paradise City. And by then I was listening in the car the last few songs. So just tremendous. I'd never been at a concert that went so long, you know. If it hadn't been a weekday, I would have, you know, my son and I would have stayed for the whole thing. But it was a lot of fun. Those guys really rock still. They're about my age. They're mid-50s, I think. So, and cool. They've only been back together for like maybe 2 years. They'd split apart for quite a while because Axl can be such a pain in the ass. And he made a reference to that, I think, like during the next to last song about how, you know, I know I'm not always the easiest guy to get along with, but thanks for all my band members for putting up with me. So I thought
excellent.
That was pretty
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, who knows what will have shaken out of the bushes by the time Moran Monday rolls around. Thanks to everybody who jumped in this evening. I thought we had a rousing good Friday on the front porch. Thanks, as always, to Sparky for moderating the whole affair. Thanks to Charlie for jumping in, and Les, and thanks to Trey in Kentucky, Stan, and thanks to John, who I presume is off to his gig. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you, Steve from Georgia, Stan. And thanks to all of you who hang out and enjoy and participate however you do in the program. Thanks to everybody who met Shirley's challenge this evening. That's tremendous. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Night, y'all.